call the meeting to order.
First, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next.
So, for tonight, what we want to start out with is, first of all, you got the charter in front of you from last week. It's just blown up with some of the data down below, so you can go through it at your leisure, and we can talk about it tonight if you want to as well. We also passed out the debt service report, so each one of you's got the future year's debt service. That's the big one underneath that you can look and see all the existing debts are out there and when they'll be paid off and what the parameters for that debt service there are.
And some of the school board folks asked about that, so we provided them the same chart today too.
Right.
So.
And then there's the flyer here that, for, I just remind everybody, there's a flyer here. It's a draft one. We want everybody to chop that. If you see anything on there you think should be different or doesn't make sense to you, we want to get this smooth printed soon, because this will be the information flyer we use around the county for residents to know what's going on with the Zion Crossroads Water Project. So that's the updated one that Brian Rothamel did. And then one of the things I asked the staff to work on is I wanted CIP photos from now on for any CIP project that's in there, either the new thing someone wants, a picture of the new thing if we haven't had it before, or the picture of the thing that's being replaced. So we've got pictures of a bunch of the firefighter things now, but we'll be able to do that at every meeting. If you want to see what's an item on the CIP and see what they're talking about, and let the subject matter experts, whether it's fire or rescue or schools or whatever, be able to point and show you what they're talking about and what they're asking to be funded. We'll have photos of those. And then we'll have Eric go through just briefly what changes have happened in the budget since you last saw it last Wednesday, and the master budget sheet that you've got for your book. Anything in there that's got a highlight on it is changes from last time. So Eric, pull up the budget and then run down through, please, and let him know what's changed on there.
Okay, so if you see it up at the top, column J under the FY20 BOS advertised column blue, it shows a green highlight of 246, 438. So the major changes in that were personal property tax. We had some taxable value updates. We had some comp board estimate numbers come out, so some items for that change, and then also we increased sales tax. So if you start right there, we got updates for mobile homes. I mean, you see it's
they're a little different than the numbers that were in my column, in column G.
If you see column G was 19309, it's 19585, a couple hundred bucks. That's minor. But if you go down to real estate and personal property, those are some of the larger increases there. And the exact numbers are on the budget balance worksheet. If you look at this right here, it'll show what the changes are on that sheet right there for whether it was real estate, personal property, additional sales tax revenue, or comp board revenue.
So anytime, each week as we go through this, you'll get an update on what changed since the last time you saw it, and then any summary changes will be on that budget balance worksheet, so you'll know. That gives you an indication. Now that's at the 92.3 co-ed proposed budget.
So at the co-ed proposed budget, we're at 92.3 from that point. And, the commissioner said we will probably get some more values as the weeks go on. We didn't get any updates this week from the last week. So those are kind of the same numbers we had in there when we had the advertised 94.9 tax rate.
And I think you all had 233 last week and then just updated slightly to 246.
Yeah.
So, and that's above the 92.3. So from that, we can go through any scenario or any versions you want. We've got fire and rescue folks here that can talk about some of the CIP items. Do you have any operational questions or just CIP? Okay. So maybe with those guys here, you can go through CIP issues first, and they can go run through their items, and then we can go from wherever you want after that, whether you want to go to operational budgets in the departments, or you want to go, down through the rest of CIP. Well, let's run through those. The SCBAs are standing in place, waiting on response for the grant application. In either case, if the grant comes, then it'll get funded. If the grant doesn't come, you still have to fund it.
How much is it total? $900,000.
About $880,000, Debbie?
Yes, I think it's 886.
Yeah. So go to apparatus.
That's another two pennies in 800.
Well, you would probably have to do it out of fund balance on that, because it's really a one-time expenditure for 10 years?
15.
10 or 15? Okay. Mm-hmm. One-time expenditure for 15 years, so probably do it out of fund balance, but that means it would eat into the cash for Zion Crossroads. You'd have to rebuild that then without touching the tax rate.
And then we would get a less good rating each year that rates us on our budgets and everything.
No, I don't mean eat into your reserve. Okay. I mean eat into the $3 million you've got set aside for Zion Crossroads cash funding, and then you'd have to set aside some in the budget next year to rebuild that if you had to buy those up front.
But they
right
do
away.
Look into that also, do they not?
They do, but they
the
really
health of the county?
They really base it on your reserve that's out there. The revolving fund balance of cash.
The 8.3 something like
right.
that.
Yes, sir. And that's what they are pretty impressed with.
Okay.
So for those of the fire chiefs that are here, maybe you can speak to each one of these. We've got pictures of all four of those that we can pull up. So let's go to, can somebody cover Ambulance 49?
I can't speak for that.
I can't speak for that.
Okay. Well, let's go to Tanker 10 then and pull up the picture, Eric. And then, so there's several pictures. This is the tanker, Palmyra tanker. But so, Chief, if you, one of you guys, or Dwayne, Chief, yep. We can talk about it.
Tanker 10, it's a 99 model. It has served our purpose very well. It is at the end of its 20 years, and that's honestly the only reason it would be up for replacement. It has been a good truck to us. I can't really say much.
Technology-wise, is there a difference between that and what the replacement would be?
God, I hope not.
I mean, I like your the hydraulic tools are a big difference from what you used to.
Well, the new pumps are most of them are electronic. This truck is all manual. It does have electronic box on it for controlling the pump, but you can bypass it very easily. We're on the new ones are.
All computer,
and there's no bypass to it. Now, if that control box goes bad, which we had a blip with it about 2 or 3 years ago, and we had them serve it, take a look at it, and we haven't had any issues with it since. Otherwise, it's been a good truck.
All maintenance and repairs on the truck?
All, everything is maintained. We maintain it through the company ourselves.
What's the resale on it, do you know, ballpark?
I have not.
Is this a 34, 50?
I haven't even researched that part.
Okay.
Because
we'll need that to help outfit the new ones.
Right. And that sale of that will definitely help.
Okay.
Yeah, the sale of those goes back to the fire companies where they take that money and...
For outfitting.
Yeah.
Right.
Put by new equipment for
right.
Loose equipment.
Right. Yeah, that's why I'm interested in seeing if we can get a...
Ideally, we'd like to have the same truck, just a little bit newer model. As far as size-wise and everything, it's served us well.
Is there anything like that available that's 10 years old rather than 20 years old that would be reasonable or suitable?
Personally, I wouldn't want to buy somebody else's issue.
You buy another company's issue. If they are selling them, then they've got issues of using this.
Okay. Well, I just didn't know if, like, you know, the rich fire departments change every 10 years instead of, you know, more or whatever.
If they did change every 10 years, they run it twice as hard as we have.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
You did buy a ladder truck, right? That was a used ladder truck.
Yes.
So what's the difference between buying a tanker versus a ladder truck?
Ladder truck's far more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Far more.
Probably three times.
Yeah.
The tankers.
The $550,000 that was projected for the tanker, or that was asked, that was a projection from over 5 years ago. Is that correct? realistically, I would say we are probably in the 562. But we would need to make sure that we cover our equipment. I haven't shopped it because I want to make sure. I don't like wasting anybody else's time.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to waste sales time. But I would say realistically, that would be where we would.
So 560 outfitted?
460.
460 outfitted? Oh, 460 outfitted.
Yes. Okay. I meant.
So 460 outfitted, that sounds more, that some of you had said before. So 460 outfitted, and if you got 30 for the truck, you know, then that reduces it down. So you're now at 430.
Yes, but I wouldn't bank on any of that until.
No. But we just need to have we can have Cindy work with you all to try to figure out an approximate, because if it ends up being 460 right now in your wedge, you've got 550 in there. And so 460 would help. And if there's, you know, if that truck were a $30,000 sale, then, you know, then you really only need 430 up front to build outfit, to buy and outfit the truck. Okay. Go to the next picture. There's a couple more pictures, please. Probably nothing significant, but so. Okay. Board, any questions on that one, on the tanker 10?
Or any other apparatus in the building?
Okay, so go to close that. And go to support 56, the lake rescue.
See a few photos.
I've already turned these once, so I don't know why they turned again. Just turn it, please. And next, get to the side view. Next. Next. One more, I think. Nope, keep going, one more. Okay, so that's support 56. Richie, can you talk about that?
I really can't.
Okay.
I can't tell you about that.
Because there's been a lot of discussion and concern about, do we really need one more? Well, does Lake Rescue really need that replaced versus other things? And I don't know what to tell you, because
what is that?
It's a command vehicle.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not a command vehicle. They use that for equipment for
water rescue,
towboats, and equipment, mm-hmm. And personnel.
And personnel, mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And it's 20 years old. Is that what we're looking at?
Eric, go back to the master sheet and just see what.
22 years old.
91. So it's 18 years old.
Yeah.
And they're looking for 186,000 replacement.
28.
Huh?
28.
Oh, 28. I'm sorry. Yeah. Wrong the century. And that was pushed from last year, but there's still questions on it, and I guess we need Chief Lai here to answer your questions on that one.
He's at another meeting.
Yeah, the chief's at another meeting tonight.
Yeah.
He'll be here next week.
Okay, so we'll hold that one over to next week. And Chief One, open that one, please. This is the one you see that Chief Brent rides. Run through the photos that are in there, please. And then, Mike, jump in about sizing and spacing and whatever so the board knows, okay. Please.
This is Carl One, which is our primary answer command vehicle. It's my vehicle, Chief One vehicle. I'm able to operate any incident out of that vehicle with the manuals, radios, everything that we have in it. You turn back to the back. Eric, would you go back to the back of the open door? I guess the command board right there, we have the tags for accountability. Right behind that, I've got drawers, it's got equipment, thermal imaging camera, so forth. On the left-hand side, there's traffic cones, helicopter LZ landing kits, things of that nature on the left side. Right up the front of that is my turnip gear, CO detector, carbon dioxide detector.
And you've only got two seats available in this vehicle all the time because of all the stuff that's in it?
Most have just my seat.
Yeah. Well, could you throw the other junk in the other seat?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, that's my office on the vehicle.
Okay.
It's 2008, and it's got 111,000 miles on it. The reason it's in this year's budget is this was a good year from our perspective, looking at the budget, to keep a good even keel and a good year to put it in.
What will the new one look like? What will be the improvement?
New will probably be either a new Expedition, same size. I can't get much smaller because of what I carry. Mm-hmm. So be an Expedition or a Tahoe type vehicle. They're both on state contract. Both those vehicles.
So for folks that don't know, what are the little Priuses for that Charlottesville and or Alma use? Is that for fire inspectors and things like that?
That's correct.
Because people see those on the street, I want to make sure they understand that it's not this.
Well, I see what services
there's
there?
Support service there, school, where they go do things for school.
Training so stuff.
Training in school. Building inspections, they go of course, the city of Charlottesville does the fire marshal stuff and the building inspections.
And I think the division commanders use those as well. Not the frontline officers, but the captain charge of training, captain charge of fleet maintenance. That people like those use them small Priuses.
Not for this kind of function.
Right, not for that function. Not used for emergency service. Service calls.
And when did we do the Fork Union one, the command vehicle or whatever it's called?
It's almost 2 years old now. So I know Car 21 came up last week. Mm-hmm. Car 21 has a command box in it, mm-hmm. but it is used for incident command.
Is that a sedan or a SUV?
It's a Tahoe.
Okay.
It's also used as a vehicle where people can go to training. It's used as once the big fire trucks are gone for the rest that come in to get together and provide manpower to the scene. It's got multi-functions. It's a vehicle that we use for department business. I had to go to Appomattox to fire and safety a couple weeks ago, for instance. Things like that. It's the command side of it is, Mike can't make every call we
sure,
run.
Right.
And, we use it for those things. And
sometimes the instant is big enough where you've got an instant command vehicle, but you might have a sub vehicle over at another location, particularly brush fires.
Mm-hmm.
You've got
different sides.
Quarter mile away from
it. For instance, Mike may be running command out of his. I may go pick up car 21. I might be doing accountability and some other things, which is very important to the safety to make sure everybody's, mm-hmm. Where they're at, nobody's hurt, everybody comes home, all that stuff. The comment was made we weren't supposed to turn it into a command vehicle, but honestly, the only thing that was put in that vehicle that would have been put with in just a Tahoe that we would buy, we didn't use it for command, is the box that's in the back. So you're only talking about $2,000. Now after we got that vehicle, we spent some of our own money. We put the extra radios in the back and stuff ourselves. Mm. That didn't come out of the money that was given to us. We took some of the money that we had in our account and bought that extra stuff on our own to help.
And you do that on most of the vehicles, though. You plus up
we
on
do a whole lot
specialize
of
in right.
And
so do all the companies have something similar?
Yes.
Okay.
Kent Store, of course, this is what they wanted. They bought a pickup back at the same time. That's a 2008
Seamless. Four-door pickup?
It's
so they can do the same?
Four-door pickup with a camera shell.
Okay.
And they use that for their command vehicle now. And you say command vehicle again, it's their everything vehicle.
Right.
So they're running EMS out of it.
So you don't go to Walmart to buy cleaning equipment.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
These vehicles, the cost that's associated with it is for the purchase of the vehicle, for the graphics, and the all the lighting, and the command box in the back. And you mind the command box in the back was $4,000. They're not cheap, but it's nasty. 12, 13 years.
Will that transfer on that one, or does it need replaced?
Because the vehicle specific.
Got it. Okay.
It may. You almost have to take it and fit it in the other one. But the way they're built, they usually vehicle.
It's better to outfit it with stuff that's modeled for that. Okay. So, board members, on those, you've seen Tanker 10, you've seen Support 56, although we can't do that tonight because we need to talk to Chief Lai, and then Command 1. The ambulance will have to hold on too. What questions do you have for the fire and rescue folks that are here? Because you're going to have to, be starting to make decisions on these.
If you can't have everything, what is the...
Go back to the list, please.
What item could you do without for a year? Or items?
We could move car one back a year if that's necessary.
Okay.
And nobody has an opinion on ambulance 49 or support 56?
We don't do the rescue side, so it's hard for us to...
They've got their own justification.
Got it. Does Atlanta Rescue still have four ambulances or three?
Three.
So they've got one plus a spare for here and one at Kent Store?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we have the two. We have two that we purchased. Was it 2-3 years ago, maybe? Mm-hmm. One was a remount or a re-chassis, and then one was a brand new. Yeah.
And why would we replace a 2011 ambulance? Do they get replaced more often than the
I think John told us at the last FRA meeting they're on an 8-year replacement, and that's because the way I understood it was because, you know, they're running back and forth to Charlottesville. It's a whole lot more wear and tear miles, stuff like that, than the fire apparatus gets put on.
Okay, got it. And we've already gone from four down to three with the Fluvin and Rescue, and you probably have to have three because you need to have one plus the primary spare for their contract crew and then one at Kent Store for when they do run. So you probably need it. I don't know about the timing. We'll have to ask Chief Mayo when she's here. Debbie, any comments on any of these?
Well, like last week, I mean, I would recommend just remounting rather than replacing 4.9. Remount it and get more, another 8 years out of it.
Which one, Debbie?
That's the ambulance.
Oh, okay.
What's the cost difference between those?
It's a savings of about 40% from Porter Carden at Goodman's.
Okay, can you make sure you have Chief Mayo send something so we can forward it to the board? So we've got her. If she can't come to the next meeting, make sure we get something on email so we can forward it to the board on what she says about replacing and also about rechassis versus a rebox or rechassis?
Rechassis. Yeah, you put the old box on the rechassis.
Okay.
Could the tanker be pushed out for another year or two? I mean, you just made the comment that it was just the time for it. And let me frame that in the context of our you know, CIP budget is very tight, and we know we have some challenges coming up. The more we can squeeze out of it this year, the better.
That's good.
And also, I made the comment and suggestion that we look at, you know, financing some of these vehicles. So that's a big number there from that standpoint.
And that's what we generally do with these vehicles, is 10-year financing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of them we do, in the fire truck we probably would, but can you talk about the push out on how it impact your stuff in the following year or those?
It just depends on what we move this year, what would have to be moved. Now, I've got, like next year, I've got two trucks on at the same time. The reason why is because the engine that needs replacing has been moved twice already. Mm-hmm. The engine can't be moved. It's a 1993. It's getting old. By the time next April rolls around and the budget's finalized, and then we meet with the salesman and we build the truck, then after you build the truck, it gets put on a list, and it depends on how busy they are when they even start building it. Mm-hmm. It could be close to 30 years old by the time we actually receive the truck and get it in service. Mm-hmm. The other truck, if we had to, but that's next year. We obviously, if we move something this year, it would definitely move something each year after the way we've got it all drawn out.
What's the debt service on that 565 one we bought a while back? Is it 65K a year, 55K?
It's right around that, yeah.
Okay. So debt service on that one would be maybe 50K, maybe a little less if you did debt service on the 460,000 or around there.
I think the last pumper that we purchased, I think we purchased with all cash. I know the one in 2014 we did debt service.
Yeah, the one that came from Wisconsin.
But the one in between there
was 14.
We did
truck. Yes, and we have a truck.
Okay.
Well, I would say, like I said last week, if you're going to do anything, get a new tanker this year, replace engine 20 next year, and then we try with a TAC 20 to do the assistance to firefighter grant and see if we can't at least do a 50-50 on that to try and keep it on its year. but get the tanker this year, the engine 20 next year, and we work on attack 20.
Mr. O'Brien, to comment on what you asked, we've got these things projected up for 30 years, and I mean, we got all the tankers are going to be coming up. They're at the end of that 20-year cycle, the tanker 10 being the first one. But the and that's the only thing that, I don't say the only thing, but that's a big thing we are scared of is once you start moving, you cascade. You move in this, and then the next year you got two tankers you need. Then next year you got three tankers. So you keep cascading, then you start running into problems. Then it gets into, well, who gets what? Mm-hmm. Right now, everybody's fine. Everybody is good with our budget as it is, well, as we have projected it. But you start cascading, it starts coming by, I need this, and I need this the same year. Then you start running into issues.
Pull up fund balance options.
We do on capital projects if things are not funded by the board. We go back and the board gives us X amount of dollars. We take in X amount of dollars and we prioritize ourselves and we decide who's getting what through the Fire Rescue Association.
So, and for everybody's information, one of the difficulties right now is that we've got
we're tapped on fund balance. While there's $5.3 million there right now that could potentially be used for things, you know, there's a bunch already set aside. $3 million set aside for the Zion Crossroads Water and Sewer Project because there's $8.5 million in debt financing and $300,000 in $3 million cash that the board intended to fund that project with. So that $11.5 million sits aside. So you take the $3 million out, now you're down to $2.3 million. We're going to get $311,000 that Eric worked with our bond council, and we earned $311,000 off some float of some bonds. That's great, so we put it back in. Louisa's going to give us $380,000 towards the core, the E-91 core, because they're going to share that core. That's good and helps it. But just on the bare bones stuff on my budget on CIB is $1.8 million. If you pull the $1.8 million off and you're already down to the 2.3, and then you even add these back in, you're really down to zero. And that didn't include some of those bigger costs. So we're going to, if you're going to fund fire trucks, you're probably going to have to go debt service this year. And those over those 10 years, Eric?
We do fire trucks 10 years. We do 10 years.
And so that's, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 that you'd have to put in the budget in the tax rate. Because I don't think you're going to have enough in fund balance. I mean, clearly, the burn building is not going to cost $480,000. Okay, it's going to cost more than that. And the board's, you know, been hearing this number for a long time. But that's, you know, between $650,000 and $700,000. We can't get too far beyond that because you see what the fund balance is right now. The JRWA cost, the longer the permits get delayed, the more cost goes up on that. And that's our share of the estimated increases right now, but it's gonna go up. The CVAC payment, it will come sometime later this summer, the first CVAC payment, because they'll complete the Zion Crossroads station, substation, and have broadband to the northwest part of the county. But you know, when you get down through here, there's just not a lot left in there, and that's the concern.
Now, one thing that's going to happen, even though we've got a lot of these earmarked per se, I mean, Zion's Crossroads, $3 million.
You won't need it till summer of 2020.
No, I mean
you're going to need it. By then,
no, we are. We're
going to be finished in October 2020.
We're going to spend the bond proceeds first, and then you'll move on to cash. Same thing with JRWA. You may not need that right away, but there may be some cost increases there as well.
The JRWA definitely would be out probably a year and a half or 2 years.
But the before cost, the estimate's probably low.
The estimate is low. It is now, because the one that briefed you last week, that's definitely going to be going up. I'll brief you later on tonight.
Would the Fire and Rescue Association, we have the $200,000 there for the burn building, would they be open to using any of the aid to localities money for that?
That's something that I've discussed.
To pick up the over and above the 480, because you know that the grant legally can't pay for some of the stuff. And while we're pretty close to getting a contract on the street, you know, to get out, to get bids, it's going to be more than 480, and even on a Class A.
And so the fire service money comes in and split between the companies.
Right.
So correct. Equal amount.
Correct.
And our county treasurer keeps up with that. Now, I can't speak for everyone here, but I know, like my part of it, we have a $14,000-something payment yearly on Engine 21 still for the next 4 or 5 years, and we pay it out of that.
Got it.
I bought some fire helmets out of it a couple weeks ago, some boot stuff we needed. I mean, that was almost $4,000 worth of stuff.
And that's another thing I'd like to see. I think Eric and I both talked this. You all shouldn't be paying those debt service on those on the big trucks and the fire apparatus and things, because it's county apparatus. Those ought to be running through the regular budget for pay through there, so we don't even have to have them spread out to separate places all over.
Well, what we did is that's...
And you should be able to use those fire fund monies for your local stuff.
Yeah. What that the fire service money is used for is the... we have X amount of dollars, I think it's 525 now, that we'll go to you and ask for an engine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But anything over that, let's say that truck comes in 575 or whatever, anything over that 525, we use the fire service money to offset that.
Right. So I would rather see this board get, here's the total cost of this outfitted engine.
And have the county just
so that that's funded. So that those other things can be used for the special stuff, like replacing SCBA stuff or new helmets, or supporting a special project like burn building. But, you know, just keep that in mind. That's something you all are going to have to talk about, because they really need to see on a regular basis the full cost, not the day-to-day operational, that's smaller stuff. We're talking about the big capital cost, and I'd rather have it wrapped up in one package, but something we need to talk about.
The other thing you need to keep in mind, too, that fire service money, there's guidelines, and there's only things that you can use that money for.
You're right, and it may not
be... And the rest of it has to come out of our regular budget.
Right. And it may not be legal to use on a burn building. We're just asking because we're looking for any source
of... It says training equipment. Part of the state money is for training equipment, so I don't know if that includes the burn building or not.
Well, it may be equipment for it, but you couldn't do probably the pad for itself, because site prep and all that stuff is not included.
It's training, though.
Yeah.
There was some legislation on that this past year, and I can't remember whether it was passed or not. They were trying to open it up where you could use fire service money for burn building for the facilities.
Okay. So we'll make a note of that, because we need to follow up and find out if that's the case.
Will the burn building make any money? Do we not? We've all let other people use it?
Yes, ma'am. We've had other people use it.
We don't pay rent when we go to Buckingham or Belmont.
Are you down to all new?
The only time we get charged for Buckingham, we don't get charged in Albemarle. The only time we get charged in Buckingham, if we burn.
Okay.
If we just use the building as is, mm-hmm. they don't charge us, but we burn in it, then they charge us $150 mm-hmm. for more or less somebody being there, somebody cleaning
right.
up.
Right.
Yeah, but $150 50 times a year is not going to be much money.
No, so,
right.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about the self-contained breathing apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
We've only got $100,000 in there, but it's going to be, you said $880,000.
Right.
So if we don't get that, where would we find that money?
That $3
million? Right there.
Okay.
Well, out of fund balance, that's yep. where we're gonna have to tap in here. Now, at the end of the fiscal year, we're probably going to have, just like we do every year, we have some mm-hmm. budgets that are a little under budget, and depending upon what the board does with the tax rate, you know, we're always going to see that second half above and beyond in revenue if we go above what the current tax rate is. So, you know, we will probably have funds that go back into the fund balance at the end of the fiscal year. That's how we've been building up our fund balance over these years.
But your decline is
it is
your slope
it's
is this
starting
way.
To go down.
And you said the $3 million, the one that's marked
from the Exxon.
Yeah.
Crossroads.
Mm-hmm. Design Crossroads
for the water and sewer project. Because it's an $11.5 million project. Mm-hmm. $8.5 million out of debt service, $3 million out of cash. We saved $1 million, which is fantastic, but you still need to set that aside. If you use it this year for an essential like the SCBAs, you're going to have to
find it
pay someplace to pay for the ZXR project. Because remember, that project ends in October of 2020, and that means the payments will end about that same time, because there may be some reserve at that time, but by that they're largely complete and you will have done most of the payments, most of the $11.5 million. So you won't have a lot of, you'll have a year to find it or put it back in or build it back into the tax rate to build the cash up. The schools are probably not going to have more than $300,000 or $400,000 this year is what they think, but 250 of that they want to have you identify for CIP for their server replacement out of the carryover because it's one-time dollars, and so you're not going to have very much coming back from there. The county will have, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 or $700,000 out of, you know, $40 million or whatever, but it's not going to be, it's not millions of dollars. And until you start building that fund balance back up, like you did for ZXR, you kept the cash, whether it was for radio project, this, you're going to partially cash fund a project, which is fantastic, but you don't have a lot of cash sitting around right now.
Mr. Cooperon, you asked about the tanker and, you know, give it if it really came down to it, we weren't approved for the grant, I'd give up a tanker for SCBA.
Well, the SCBA's have to.
It has to. No, you're right. Grant or no grant, it's got to happen.
Got to do it.
But to make it easier, I would move a tanker.
Well, I mean, it's my opinion that we are going, I mean, that we are better off finding a way to borrow on some of these capital needs that we have, because we just,
especially when the rates are still low.
When the rates are still low, there's less flexibility, there's pressures that could turn around and hit us very hard, and we have a little bit of flexibility this budget season, so maybe we make some decisions now, but next budget season we don't have any flexibility, in my opinion, unless something miraculous happens. So, you know, we've got these needs, we've got a lot of plans and efforts that have been made over the past couple of years to set all these things in place. And to your point, you don't want to have those cascade down and then create contention, especially when the need is visible. I mean, you're going to tanker this.
Some life safety thing.
93, you know, 93, nobody's arguing the need.
But July, we had no choice. We have to have them. And if we ordered them right now, it would still be questionable. And, you know, NFPA to change the standard and the price of that go up. And there's no control that we have over that.
Sure.
They can't sell SCBAs now because the new 2020 standard, NFPA 20 standard, comes in for 2020. And whatever SCBAs the manufacturers have now, they can't sell because they don't meet the 2020 standard. So we're going to be waiting anyway.
You're not going to be able to buy until fall at the earliest, probably?
If we're lucky, fall. Okay. If we're lucky.
Well, that actually makes a little bit of difference, because if we can't actually, first of all, we'll know about the grant by then. Right. But secondly, if we can't actually spend the cash for 7 or 8 or 9 months from now, there's some time to see what else is going to shake out. But I think the board is well aware that that's not a nice to have, that's a mandatory. So,
in terms of funding, capital funding for a variety of different needs, can that be done as sort of a block, or?
Oh yeah, we could take out like a big, you know, like a public safety debt, you know, debt service capital lease for replacing multiple units
and buses and things like that.
And we could go through the VRA. I mean, I was just looking at the sheet here. I mean, we did. I don't remember what fire truck this was, but the 2014 truck.
Yeah, that was for Palmyra.
I think it was theirs. I mean, we took out, it was $475,000. It was 2.44%. They were paying $60,000 a year in debt service.
But we're paying down about $7 million a year. Is that correct?
In regular debt.
Yeah, in regular debt across the board.
Across the board, right.
Well, total debt or principal?
What's our total debt service payment?
Our total debt service payment, I mean, when you include in ZXR and everything, because we're supporting ZXR until it's, we're paying about $9.5 million a year in debt service, principal and interest.
Right, but the net amount of debt owed is going down about $7 million a year.
No, we're going down.
Pull up the special reports.
School alone, you're coming down about $3 million in debt.
I mean, that's just a number that comes off the top of my head.
Mr. Bryant, we always looked at it.
Go to debt service.
We had this price for the truck, the total price of this thing was $450 or whatever.
Go to up top.
The money that we added to it,
go scroll down to FY20.
That money basically was it paying the interest for you guys.
Yeah,
you all were paying the principal, and we were basically paying the interest.
Sure, thanks.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's annual debt service, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a debt service.
That's the annual debt service.
So, I mean,
that's everything.
So, in 5 years, you got a pretty big jump down, which is good, but again, you might fill it back up with fire trucks right now.
Yeah, no, and I'm looking at the debt service is one thing, but the other part, of course, is, if we look at it and say, okay, we're borrowing money, and last year we owed $98 million or whatever number it is that horrifies us all, and at the end of this year we owe $96 or $93 million. Well, if we decide that we need to borrow another $3 or $4 million, net, we're in the same place, but we're...
We pay down principal of more than probably about $5.5-6 million every year.
So somewhere in that neighborhood. So what I'm saying is if we looked at some of these capital needs that we have right now, which are substantial, and did a block grant funding, at the end of the year, we've given ourselves our flexibility.
Still net debt lower, but...
Yeah, because, I'm terrified of where our capital reserve fund, where our funded balance is right now. We're flirting with disaster on that one.
And I don't know that the county's ever touched the 12% reserve. They haven't in the last 10 years.
That's sort of in our charter that it is...
Right, and nobody's ever gone after it. There hasn't been anything catastrophic that was needed to at the time.
But that's for an emergency.
Policy, it says we can only go into that as an emergency. We have to have a plan to get back above it.
Right. And the final point is interest rates are going to, we're going to see upward pressures on interest rates.
Yeah, and right now they're holding steady, which is good.
Which is amazing. I didn't think they'd held that steady for this long. So, to me, I think we should take a look at that as a, maybe we say, here's what we've got to do this year because we don't have enough time to figure it out. So let's just push that up. But, in essence, we're not saying we're not going to do it. We're just saying we're going to find another way to do it.
Well, in many years, we debt service the big fire trucks anyway because they're $500,000 plus.
And sure.
So it's not like it's uncommon for us to do that. And there's not a lot of extra cash sitting around to cash fund it for this year. So you all have to decide what they need based on what they're saying, and then we'll tell you the options on how you can fund it. So, okay. So go back to the PDF sheet. Any more on those 2 years while you all are here? We're talking about it before we move on to something else.
Okay. Well, that kind of depends on what we wind up funding this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it depends on the dominoes, how it's going to affect the following years. But the one thing that is kind of inviolate is the SCBAs have to be bought this year.
Yes.
Okay. And some of those 2 years' worth, some of that needs to be bought in this year or year and a half time frame, because otherwise you're just pushing it back into something else that's critical 2 years from now.
As a county, we don't want to paint ourselves in a corner because then it affects replacement on other branches of the county too.
Okay, so make a note on the 550, put a 460 next to it, and then Debbie, if you'll get us an answer for 465?
462.5.
Okay, 463, round it up for me. get a note from Chief Mayo so they can know whether the rechassis is possible, or delay and or rechassis.
Okay.
Okay, and then if you all can work with Cindy to try to get a ballpark on resale, 3 year contracts, or find out what you think resales are. For instance, if it ends up being $50,000, well, that's a big deal. If it ends up being $20,000, it's not quite a big deal. So,
Chief Brent, is there any benefit or cost savings to going from like a 4-door truck with shallow the back, or is it about the same?
You don't want to do that because you get stuff that needs to be
temperature-controlled.
Okay, so we'll have to talk to Chief Lye about the Support 56, and then we'll get the other information on the ambulance for you. So, okay, so let's close that off. Board, where do you want to head? We can run down through any scenario, either CIP stuff. You got the sheriff here if you want to talk about his CIP stuff, or we can go down through the budget balance worksheet so you can start give us an indication of what you'd like to slide over.
Well, I would suggest since we're talking about public safety and CIP, we have the sheriff talk about.
So go back to CIP and pull up the sheriff's. You've got the security upgrades for the courthouse and then just vehicles this year, right?
Correct. Okay. That's all we have.
Okay. Go open the courthouse security upgrades, please. Next page and blow it up.
Okay. And those are the infrastructure. We'll get you pictures. They're putting pictures together now, but showing the old system and the age of it and how it needs to be upgraded. And right now, we've got several cameras that aren't even working. We need to do an overhaul of that system like we did at our office last year, and it has made a world of difference in our office and in the courthouse, especially keeping track of the different levels of the court. And when they're going on, and with the added judges that I've told you all about for next year, we're liable to have two courts going. And it's simpler to have one person watching a lot of things than you have, you know, cuts down on the manpower a little bit. But if they're not working at all, then you have to send people outside to look around, and that's what we don't.
That's do. Where you are now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And different stations in the court would have panic buttons that don't even work. So all that stuff needs to be upgraded. It's the original stuff that came in the courthouse.
How old is the quote on that, Sheriff?
I wasn't here when they built her.
What, the court?
No, the quote for the 75 the 75K budget.
Well, I think that's fairly good.
Okay,
yes,
good.
That shouldn't fluctuate much. If anything, cameras are going, actually, they tend to go down a little bit. So.
Okay. And go back to the vehicles, please, Eric.
And on the vehicles, we're going to get those pictures to you, too. Like I've told you in the past, we're going to stay with our primary vehicle, which is the cheapest vehicle that's out on the market and it's turning into the most popular, which is the all-wheel drive Charger, so it's versatile in the snow. We still have to balance our fleet with some SUVs because if you get more than a 3 or 4 inch snowfall, the Chargers won't go anywhere because they're such a low-profile vehicle. So we have to have keep a smaller balance than we originally. We're going to go 50-50. We're probably down to about 30% SUVs, and the reason we're doing that is because of cost. It's about $7,000 more per vehicle. So
I think they need to have water rings more than they need to drive through snow. There's an awful lot of rain, so
might need a boat.
Yeah.
Just one thing
but we've done a real good job on managing things. They are changing, unfortunately, changing the design of the SUV that we currently have. So once again, they throw you those curveballs, so all that equipment is obsolete. And then some of it is first time in the vehicle. It's sad that they do that to us, but we really have no control over what the manufacturers do.
And so the sheriff is asking for $218,000 for the vehicles. That was fully funded, but the one thing that in the county admin's budget, we had to slide it out of cash into all fund balance.
Right, because normally we do $125,000 out of cash, and it's moved over to the fund balance side, which is problematic. If you want to go back to put the $125,000 in, then you've got to find that in the tax rate as well.
Mm-hmm. So in this budget, we had to do that with school buses. We had to slide what we normally fund out of the tax rate for school buses. We had to slide it all into the cash portion of it as well. So
we wiped out the whole MR thing.
I mean, yeah, to keep up with the...
Well, CRM dollars are still out there to cover building maintenance and stuff, mm-hmm. but we also funded some school buses and some sheriff's vehicles out of cash. And we've tried to keep that over there every year. I think
$125,000
was the sheriff's, and the school bus was enough for four buses or something like cash, wasn't it? I can't remember for sure. Go back to
maybe one.
Eric, go back to the pull the CIP up and check the second column for school buses.
$150,000 was added.
Okay,
but I don't know if that's school buses. Don't go over up. Go over. Over the 750.
Yep. What's the note? There's no note on it. What's the formula?
150.
Yeah. So 150. Yeah. So 150 moved out of cash because that was enough for two buses out of cash, is what it used to be. So.
Yeah.
But anyway. So. Okay, go back to the top of the CIP. And go up to Parks and Rec. Well, no, let's go back down to the public safety, because can you all talk about the heart monitor replacements, or do we need one of the rescue folks here for that?
Rescue.
Okay. And then CPR assist device the same way. Hydraulic tools, that's off the table now because you bought
hydraulics? Yeah, that's off the table, yes.
Okay. Next year as well?
Yes.
Okay, so let's make sure you mark that, Eric.
You take that 60, you have to
Okay. Yep. The 60 and the 20 there can both come. Okay, and then go control home and let's look at start down with Parks and Rec. Aaron, you had the playground expansion. That was for handicap accessibility playground equipment?
Correct.
And we slid that over to potential grant. Any any options or alternatives you've been hearing about
that could
potentially go up? Okay.
And I'll get pictures hopefully for the next week.
Yep. Because we need to know what we're trying to buy. But our playgrounds don't have very, I mean, other than Central Elementary, there's not any handicap accessible playground going for kids in the county that I know of. And go back to the second one, the spray ground park was the second one.
Yeah.
And while I would love to take my granddaughter to the spray ground park because she loves them, I'm not sure we can afford a spray ground park right now, but it's up to you all.
That's the two
that moved out. So like a big concrete pad with the sprays coming up and all things?
Yes,
oh, it was 150, I think, okay. is what was it? Was it 150, Aaron?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
150?
Yeah, 150.
Okay. Yeah. Those were the only two Parks and Rec that moved. Close both those and go back to the CIP, please. Go down to Wheel Clovers. Okay. So the
yes.
You gotta get back to the homes to see the whole thing. No, control them. You've got columns. Oh. What's that? What's the second FY20 column?
This is for the planning commission.
Close it. Thanks. Okay, so let's go. So, Public Works. The 55K for courthouse renovation, we still don't know what the real cost is going to be because we haven't got the bids back from the contractors that we put on this. The problem is we took one of the contractors out of play because we hired him. So we're waiting on two other contractors he's trying to get bids on, and because he was one of the ones that was bidding on that job. And he can't do it now that he's on staff. Well, he could. His family could still bid on it, but he'd have to be out of the discussion, and that's it's uncomfortable.
Anyway.
Yes. So we're waiting on other things. So that's. I wouldn't say you have to commit to that 55 this year because we just don't know yet. And I would. You already got 195 set aside from the two prior years that you funded for it to work on the courthouse, and I think that maybe. Good enough on the front end, although you'll need some tail to it. Social services does need an update vehicle, at least one. You might be able to get two out of that if you buy them off the state contract, but they wouldn't be, they'd be a year old
or a year and a half old vehicles. That's 2 years, well, it's about 2 years.
Something better than whatever you got down there. But there's 25K there listed. We moved, what did we move out to 21?
For which one?
That one.
19.
Moved 9. So there was 20. There was 40, you know, 45K there. And we moved 20 of it out to out year. Could you live within the 25 for vehicles?
We could. The two vehicles we were looking at replacing, one is a 2001 Ford Taurus.
Oh, God.
And the other one is a 2006 Impala that has about 170,000 miles on it. But we could replace the Taurus this year and replace the Impala next year.
Is that one of the state vehicles, state type vehicles we could get?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be, they're around 18 to 22
yeah.
off the state contract, mm-hmm. so pretty good value because they usually come with less than 12,000 miles on them and you know a year or so old, but we save a boatload of money on them when we buy them. So that's mostly what we've been buying lately. Okay.
So would you put the older ones in away and not drive it? Are they unsafe?
The Taurus is unsafe.
Mm. Can you sell it? Well, what do you do?
We'd sell it. We'd surplus it.
It would go to auction.
Okay.
And we probably wouldn't get
$1,000,
$500,000.
The Impala actually broke down on me on the way to Williamsburg. Mm. The water pump went out on it, and I was stranded in front of three lanes of traffic.
The water pump went out, or you were going to the water park in Williamsburg?
The water pump went out. Yeah.
I knew there was water in there someplace.
I stopped and put antifreeze in it in Goochland and got to short pump, and it broke down. And I tried to turn over to where the Wawa is, and it just stopped right in front of like three lanes of traffic.
So for very small money, you could, if you took that to 40 instead of 25, they could probably get two vehicles off the state contract, which would be vastly better than what they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to think about going to that, because it's not going to, you know, $15,000 is not going to make or break, but it might be better for you all.
Is this going through like the basic auto like we've been going through? Is that
That was the GSA.
Okay.
If that's a Ford Escape, then we got one for the SRO, and we only paid like 21.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking. We've been paying between 18 and 22. And you can usually fit four people in them if you need to go to conference or things like that.
And we'd like to have we have one four-wheel drive vehicle, but because we are responsible for operating emergency shelters,
and sometimes we
do have to go out.
I would buy both of those as all-wheel drive when you buy them.
Yeah, we do need another four-wheel
drive. Yeah, try to get both of them as all-wheel drive so you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, board, just keep that in mind if you can maybe think about that so they can get two of them out of our state contract. Close that, Eric, please. Next one down. County vehicles. I'm a little ambivalent on the county vehicles. Last year we moved everything out practically. This year we moved most of it out, or half of it out, $100,000 of it out. I really want Mr. Hickman to get more ingrained and see what look at the vehicles, but again, we do not want to get behind on the county vehicles, because 7 or 8 years ago, your county vehicles were in terrible condition, and Wayne really worked hard to try to get them ramped up and have a schedule, so we don't want to push off too far, but we've cut that down pretty deep, cut it in half down to 100, but if we need to go down off that completely, I think we could live with it, but just can't push it too far down the road.
Two of the vehicles currently that county staff uses are old sheriff's vehicles.
Right.
And if our vehicles are funded, we will give the county back the F-250 that we have.
Oh, good.
It only has about 50,000 miles on it.
That'll help too then. So close that, Eric, please. So theoretically, that one that's 100 there, you could, if you run it down to 50 or so, we could still get a couple of vehicles out of that, but that takes it down from the 200 original request. We moved it to the out year.
Well, I think you give the 40, you give the 15 to social services at a minimum out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Well, so let's, are you all willing to move to change it to 40 and 80 on those two lines? Instead of 25 and 100, go to 40 and 80?
Mm-hmm.
So we slide it over to social services?
You're trying to keep it equal to 40 and 85?
Oh yeah, sorry, 40 and 85, I'm sorry. 40 and 85. We can come back and revisit that if we want to take the 85 down, but I'd like to have Mr. Hickman look at that first. He's still at training. They come back tomorrow from their training. But that way we can cover those two, and we'll see on the county. All the rest of the stuff, the machinery maintenance and the big equipment the Public Works wanted to buy, the Public Works expansion down at Carriersburg to put public utilities in there, and the Carriersburg storage shed for their equipment, we took off and moved to out years. Now, when you hire the public utilities director, I'll put him in the back of Public Works for now, because we can find him, put another desk back there. But eventually, we're going to need space, or we're going to maybe put him into Fuzzy and put him down in that facility. So, because we don't have any empty spaces in the county.
Right. But talking about spaces, once the space study's done, we'll have a better idea.
Maybe some roadmaps for you to consider about what we're going forward with all your county buildings. So nothing more on the public work stuff. Go down to schools, please. The schools number, forget CIP for a second. Schools number, just to keep it in mind in your head, is 500.
Operations.
For operations. You know, originally they were talking about 990 or something, or 900. The hardcore number they really need to get over the hump to do the things they're planning on doing, and they'll brief you on that, is 500. So keep that in mind, because that's not funded in the budget yet.
But in addition, one thing they're gonna request is having the servers added to the CIP for $250,000 in here.
But hopefully out of their end of year money, out of their operational budget, to do a one-time buy for that server out of end-of-year money budget, so you don't have to that money was just going to go to fund balance, and you'd take it back out and fund the server, but at least it's not existing existing fund balance money that they'd be asking for it.
What about the Chrome computers that you brought up?
Operational.
That was $600,000. Have you thought about that more, or well, is there any flexibility there?
No, I mean, that's in their regular budget, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, I've just argued that they, you know, should have, I mean, the challenge there, of course, is what they do out of their operational budget is up to them. You know, I just feel like if you funded the ability for them to purchase that inside of their operational budget, they don't really need to ask for that again, right?
Well, I would think so, but...
Yeah,
because and they're not asking for it now.
Yeah, they're not.
They've backed down on that.
They have that.
They are.
So we have all of that or part of that?
But what they included in what they were trying to include, what they were asking for in their operational budget was $250,000 for servers. And that doesn't make any sense because that's operational budget. That should have been strictly CIP. So I think what Mr. Nichols is saying is that they're putting that back into the CIP side now, which makes sense. $250,000 for servers is a lot of money, I can tell you that. I don't know what their needs are, but that's a whole lot of servers that you can buy for that price.
I think someone should go investigate.
Yeah.
I went in the server room, but I don't know what I'm looking at.
We went in the server.
You could buy about six racks for $250,000 full of servers. So
it would be
pretty much a wholesale replacement.
I know from what they were saying is the equipment they're looking at said it accommodates the equivalent of 65 servers.
Right, and one
Each one. Probably even more.
Okay. It would help if somebody went over and talked to Josh.
Yeah, I'm happy to
walk through with the superintendent.
I just thought it sounded good to me.
$250,000 is a lot. But again, I think that's the kind of thing where I would rather see them have $50,000 in their operational budget or whatever the number is that says this is what we're allocating to servers. In the same way that I think, you know, vehicles ultimately are part of your operational budget with the number set aside. But as we saw, you know, it's tempting when we have tight budgets like this to pull those monies out in order to, you know, create a tax rate that's more palpable to all of us, right? And that's the challenge is, you know, we pull money out and then we don't have it and then we pull it out of CIP. The reality is we haven't either. So, I mean, it takes fortitude from the board to continue to say, yep, we're going to continue that $150,000 that we pulled out of operations for, you know, maintenance really should still be there. You know, it's a false equivalency to take it out because we still need it.
And it makes the Planning Commission happy, very.
Yes. It'll be one less thing that Mr. Bibb has to look at me every year and when they're doing their hearings and ask about.
Yeah. And I don't have any argument against putting a certain amount in operations that's set aside based on that number that's realistic, and then that's part of it and is ongoing. So if
the problem is just that you all have no control over it.
We have no control.
It ultimately gets spent.
Exactly.
But this year they're asking if they end up with carryover money at the end of this year that would normally go back to fund balance, and that's what they're kind of committing to, is that 250 of that not go direct to fund balance, go direct to fund that server out of CIP, which is essentially taking out fund balance, but they're going to take it out of their operations because it's a one-time cost.
Yeah,
and
basically.
And they're only asking for 500 new for next year in their operational costs, which incorporates everything.
Do we have that number? Because I know we broke out the operational on the equipment side that the schools had, and if I remember that breakout you had last time, it showed that like in year one we had year one we had this, year two we had this, and it was a big drop.
The big categorical budget for schools.
Oh,
it showed the six categories.
Reports.
It's in that special, was a really good report. I just don't have it with me.
I'm not sure that the schools thought it was so good.
I think it's this one.
Oh yeah, you probably have in your binder there, Ms. Eagle. Right, we'll pull it up on the screen here.
No, that's not it.
Is it this one?
Yeah, that's it.
Yes.
That one right there. Oh, yeah, that's it. Go down. Is there
something's going on there?
I don't know what that is.
So right, on the technology, you were just looking at it on the grid, not the graph.
Go back to the data.
Yeah.
To the left.
To the left there. When you look at technology on that side.
Line 21.
I guess we did it by the year. Is that right?
It's monthly by year.
Can you zoom in a little bit, please? I'm struggling to see that thing.
Yeah. Zoom in.
Zoom in.
Yeah, zoom in. So on technology, it looked. Where's the year total for technology?
You know, go up to the end a little bit.
Yeah. And look at totals. 1.7. Go down the next year.
Right.
1.7. Go down the next year. 1.7. Keep going. 1.7. Keep going. 1.4.
So, you know, to me, when you see something, and that's FY 14, 15,
yeah, 14 to
17, so that's when we gave them extra money, but didn't they in 18 or 19 drop down again on technology, or did I misread that?
I don't think they did on this, on the master.
And remember, this is actual expenditure, so if we go back and look at what their actual budget may be, that may be different.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez, the light blue, that's the top one.
I thought that they had a pretty significant drop down.
18. Go. There's another chart down towards the bottom.
Yep.
Bottom
in
left.
In an after year, in not in
bar chart first year. So pick out which one of those is technology. Oh, no, that's annual spending. That's just straight annual for the four years for all categories. We can pull it up. We'll run more detailed with technology.
And my only point on that is that once it's in the budget, if they then reduce it and use it somewhere else,
yeah.
And I mean, I think that's true, you know, across the board.
Right.
But,
indeed. If they're going to rededicate it for something else, and spend it in another line,
you need to get it identified.
Well, they have to be careful not to come back and ask for more technology money. Yeah. What they should have asked, for the money for that other line they needed and left the technology where it was.
Stay where it is, exactly.
So that at least it's trackable. But
I mean, but at the end of the day, I mean, they've got authority to move the money between budget lines, those categories, wherever they are. So if you give it to one line, they can move all of it to wherever they want. So.
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, if we as a board have said we're going to put $50,000 into operational for server replacement cycle, they should never come back to us and ask for servers. Is kind of what the planning commission is trying to get to, right?
Yeah. Well, and servers, though, at least if they've got programming every 10 years, it ought to be on the CIP. And programmed on the CIP.
If you do it that way, absolutely. So. Yeah, if you do it that way.
Okay. Go back to the master sheet. Close that, please. Okay, and all the rest of the stuff really got pushed out. The student transportation vehicles, we pushed some of that out, too. But they should be able to buy two or three out of the 50,000.
Yeah, we pushed about 25 out.
Right. So schools are pretty bare bones, too.
Carysburg, though, they did say that...
They think it'll come in less?
That they think that the roof will come in less than the 700,000, but they're not sure.
And that 700 is part of the 1.8, so let's say it came down to 500. Well, that's 200 off the 1.8. Maybe that goes towards the other side for the fire and rescue stuff that isn't funded there yet, and can cover that. So we really need to hear from the rescue folks on those other lines.
Can I see the Abrams building renovation all the way across?
Yeah, that's it. It's 125, 125, and 1 million in fiscal year 22 is what they've asked for. Eric, go back to the numbers.
First page.
So that's what they're asking for in Abrams funding.
That can't do any renovation.
Sure can. They were way overestimated when they first put that in.
They originally had, I think, 1.8.
No, they had 2.5 in there. 2.5 or 2.6 two or three years ago. But that was way over numbers. Go out to the CIP and look at the historical. What? Because they've already spent some out of it.
Yeah, because they've done
go
some.
To unhide the asbestos. Unhide asbestos. The columns.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that we have that in there because it was. I think some of it was CRM. Right,
exactly. Yeah. Close it off again.
What was it, about $75,000 on asbestos and all?
Yeah, because we got. Right.
What's the total?
Some of the debt service money we got back.
Is it 1.5 million all the way to the right?
Debt service reimbursement that we ended up taking 100 back, and then we gave them 75 to do some.
So all the program is 1.25 million. But at one time, they had 2.5 or 2.6 program, but that was pretty high. And they've already fixed most of the asbestos. So, and they've already fixed that one corner room where the floor was collapsing. That's been repaired now, too. So go back to the left, Eric, please. So that's about it on CIP. You still have the 250 in CRM for county, 250 in CRM for schools. Again, that covers your building maintenance issues. Doesn't cover big capital costs, but covers those, you know, replacing the chiller, or replacing this, or replacing that.
And to answer your question, they originally had $2,550,000 in last year for Abrams.
And that was based on what? They had some other
a slag from when they did the, no, when they did the,
oh, yeah,
the round robin study when they were going to close schools and right. what was it called?
The domino plan.
Yeah, it was so that was a 6 or 7 or 7 or 8 year old number, and
keep that six.
So.
It looks like they
main office classrooms.
Well, the request last year, the formatting of it's a little different. They had some dollars for certain things last year, whereas this one they have more like rooms that they plan on doing, but it doesn't.
Yeah, 22 is the big stuff where they do all the HVAC and roof and things like that. So
that one can't really be strung along much longer.
No, it's been strung along for 9 years now. So since the domino plan, and that one at $1 million is probably going to have to be debt service that year. So that's really the update on CIP, and I don't think, is there anybody else here that's got a CIP item that wants to address a CIP item? Okay, so want to move to operational?
Sure.
Okay, so close it off, Eric, please. Let's close the top off, please. And then go back up to the top left. Okay. Anything that pops out at you on any of these departments that you want to open up and look at on the general government?
Or do you want to look at the budget balance sheet to see?
Yeah, I mean, I'm personally ready for a budget balance sheet. I mean,
okay, pull up the budget balance, please.
Scroll down.
And, scroll down all the way up so we can see there. So let me do the grays first.
You got this one.
Okay, so move it back up.
You went all the way up?
No, I want the grays at the top of the screen. There we go. Okay, so on the gray stuff, those are things you're going to have to talk about. I don't necessarily want to do much pay plan and health insurance talk tonight. Jessica's got a lot of that ready, but we really want to have all five of you here when you do that. So we'd like to do it in your budget work session next Wednesday. The other thing to keep in mind is you were supposed to adopt the tax rate next Wednesday, not adopt. Set the tax rate for advertising for the public hearings. I don't think you're going to be ready to do that. So I would recommend you do it on March 27th, the following week, and you'll end up adopting the budget on the 24th of April rather than the 17th of April. But even with that kind of aggressive schedule, since Mr. Sheridan won't be back till next week, you probably will need the 2 hours next week, your 4 o'clock work session, and another work session between there and the 27th to really hash out where you want to end up, and then on the 27th do your final discussion, because you're going to have to set your tax rate that night. And so you haven't talked a lot about a lot of budget stuff yet, and you're getting tight on time. So I think the next Wednesday, 4 o'clock, and then if you decide you need to, we would set up a special budget work session between then and the following Wednesday. But the following Wednesday is straight just budget work session, the 27th.
Well, I would say, for the purposes of going down the sheet right now, despite what Jessica's going to present later on, that maybe we want to pick at least one of those numbers, move it to the other side, so that we start to get a sense as to what we're really looking at.
Indeed, good idea. So on here, remember we said that for a full 3%, well, for every 1% on staff pay raises for county side, it's about $90,000, $92,000 nominally. So $90,000. There's $100,000 in your budget already, in the baseline budget that I presented. The state says, for state-supported local employees and for constitutional officers,
They have to be given, if you want the state matching money, they have to be given a 3% increase over the biennium. The 2% last year, so you would have to do 1% this year if you want the matching money from the state. So let's say it was $90,000. Of that $90,000, if you're only going to do 1%, we would get a little bit from social services support, and we'd get a little bit from constitutional officer support, probably about $15,000 or $20,000 between the two of them, maybe?
Maybe a little bit more.
Maybe a little more.
Not
you know, maybe a third of it at best. So it only cost you $60,000. You've got $100,000 in the budget, so that's good. If you want to get to 2%, add another $90,000 of that, but also add a little bit more reimbursement from the state. This is a tight year, but I wouldn't recommend going too far back on pay stuff because you got to stay competitive in this market where we only have 2.1% unemployment and 2.8% in the Commonwealth. The other thing to keep in mind is you're going to have a pretty big bite on health insurance. We don't know the numbers yet, but let's assume it's going to be $350,000.
More.
So that 100,000 is artificially low there.
We have 200.
We have 200 in the budget right now.
Oh, okay, right.
So if let's say it's 300, well then you only need to find another 100 because there's 200 in the budget already for health insurance. But let's assume it's 300. One of the things I want you to start thinking about, and Jess will talk about this more in detail last week, and I've been briefing staff on this, been doing staff budget briefings this week. I think you have to start thinking about if we pay 95% of a health plan and the employee pays 5%, you need to start thinking about if there's a $10 increase next year, the county pays $9.50 and the employee pays 50 cents. In other words, they pay 5% of the increase, the county pays 95. If the county covers 75% of a plan and there's a $100 increase, the county pays $75, the employee picks up $25, you know, per month on the increase. Only because you ate about $250,000 in health insurance increase last year, we've got three big, really big catastrophic cases that people need the health care, but it's driving up our costs. We need to have some measure of certainty for the county budget too, that it's not always going to be just on the taxpayers in the budget. And if you can set some percentage and say, okay, whatever increase this year, it's going to be, the county will cover 95% for a single for employees only, we'll cover, you know, 85% for employees plus children, we'll cover whatever. We'll show you all those numbers next week so you can talk about it. But I've been kind of preaching that same split for 7 years. You all need to talk about it. And if you don't, fine, but talk about it because you're going to have another increase this year. So $200,000 is set aside, at least that's good, so you don't need a whole lot to make up. So between those two, if you fund a couple hundred thousand, you could cover all the health insurance, and you could cover a 2% pay raise, for instance. But there's a lot of other budget things that people want down here, so we have to go through.
Unless we went to 60% match or 66% match, I mean, that 100, if you're saying we're at a minimum going to have 300,000,
yeah.
Seems to me that we at least put that 100,000 on the other side for right now.
Yeah, well, that's clearly. I mean, it's either there or maybe the county, maybe the employees pick up some of it. But if you want to move some of it over to model it, I think you should. And I think in health insurance is one of the ones. Think about it this way. If you don't give a pay raise, you sure don't want to have the employees eat the health insurance cost because that means they just went backwards.
But they would surely share in it.
They could, yes. And so if you gave, you know, I always aim towards it's better for employees to pay more for health insurance and get a pay raise than it is the other way around because employees can take those deductions pre-tax. So they save a little bit on tax. Now, I'm not suggesting you just do one or the other, but if you can map out a plan to share, and let's say the increase this year is 300,000 and spread out over 180 employees, it was, you know, 40,000 spread out to 180 employees over the course of a year, maybe $20 a month or $40 a month or $5 a month. We'll model that all for you next week. But you can split it a little bit, but then you can also then stay on the pay raise side where you would put some pay on it. I don't think you can afford to cover both all the time. You did 2% last year and you covered the entire health insurance increase.
And then the prior year to that was when we moved from Anthem to Cigna. So we there was the employees got some
employee groups got a little increase.
Yeah, like a one got a $2 increase, one got a $12 increase a month. Mm-hmm. There wasn't much. But you haven't transferred any health insurance costs to the employees very much in the 7 years I've been here. Those 2 years where you put a little bit over, where you know somebody went up $30 on a family plan or $60 on a family plan. But if you hit somebody $100 more a month on health insurance, that's not insignificant. You know, as I tell everybody, TVs are going down in price, gas has stayed flat, it's fantastic, but milk is not going down, babysitting's not going, diapers are not going down, you know, etc. So it's a fine balance between pay and benefits. You want to have a good, robust, healthy pay, good benefits, a good quality of work life, and balance those out every year in your budget so that it does the most good moving forward without leaving too much harm behind. But I don't think you can continue every year to cover the entire insurance increase unless you substantively change the insurance you offer. If the county decided to go to HDHP only, then the rates would come down pretty substantially, and that's a higher share for the employee. A higher share of employees is great for some families, on large families, but not so good for others. But it would decrease the county's cost a lot, and so maybe eat the increase in cost over a few years. But I don't think you can do it in perpetuity. And frankly, the plans we've got now, and for staff members, if you've got any questions about health insurance and pay, definitely come next week to budget work session so you can chime in, because the board will want to hear what staff thinks. But the plan we have now gives the maximum flexibility to every county employee, because you've got four tiers and three plans, and you can choose single, married, family, in any of those combinations for any of the stuff, medical, dental, and vision, which gives maximum choice to the employees. But I don't know that you'll be able to do it. So let's move the 100 over, Eric. And what do you want to do on pay? Do you want to move some over in pay?
Yes.
You had
the 87?
Yeah, 87.
So the state is doing a 3% raise over 2 years.
Yep.
But it's doing 1% now and 2%.
No, it says you have to give your state support local employees and your constitutional officers and their employees 3% increase, and it has to be a pay increase over the biennium. So since you gave a 2% pay increase to most everybody last year, there may have been somebody last year that was new and didn't get it, so we'd have to maybe do that person 3. But you know, the person that wasn't here last year, they don't get 3 this year, because sorry, that was a biennium number. But you gave 2% last year, you'd have to do at least 1% this year to balance it out on average, so that you gave a 3% pay increase. Mm-hmm. Not take it off what we pay, it'd have to be on top of. But when you do that, you get some from social services. I think 1 year when we did 2 or 3%, it was like $26,000 we got in state reimbursement for social services pay, if you recall, something in that ballpark.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact amount.
Okay, we can pull up and see, but something like that. Yeah. And for constitutional officers, it's about the same. So maybe $50,000 between them if you did a full 2%. So it's going to offset partly, but it's not, you know, not enough to offset all of it. But so out of this, if you did that, that's a 2%. I'm sorry, on this one up here, that would be a 2%. Move the 87 over, please. If you did that, you'd probably get 35 to 40 or so back from the state out of that, so that decreases the sum, which is good. We'll know that number, and we'll add it up top for next week.
And just remember, when we started out, we were at where the 58,785 is. We had 246 there, so
right.
So technically,
you're still 60,000 at the good. But
yeah, right, if you wanted to stay at the 92.3 tax rate.
Right. And down through here, most everything in the budget's got funded. The professional services we can leave out. Go down to where there's other reds. So like on here on registrar and human resources, they're all relatively small. The bigger stuff comes when you get to the sheriff's department and fire and rescue. There's a fair amount in both of those. But let's go to that first one.
Go back up there.
Oh. The registrar. Yeah. Open that one, please. Funded areas where it's not funded in the red. So here, for instance, they were asking for additional mileage and lodging and training expenses. They were asking for 2,400 and 2000. What was in there was the baseline of 15 and 15. That was went to my budget. So you're, you know, you're talking about $1,400 between the two of those. That's about the difference is in those expenses. And I don't, this is not here for me to show. No. So Ms. Pace will have to answer how painful that is versus not fund, versus funding it, not funding it. Close that one. You can talk about your internship. I think you mentioned last week.
Yeah, I talked last week briefly about it. So in the budget overall, I was able to kind of kick off two different programs with the same dollar amount that I had last year and keep it level. But the one thing that we all are looking for is actual hands doing some of the work. And so the program would be kind of twofold. It's an opportunity for folks in the community to kind of get their feet wet and get some experience here in local government, and also complete some projects that are just being kicked down the road because I don't quite have the time to get to it.
It's great to be able to get some internships to local kids that come home from summer break and things like that, so or even high school kids. In some cases, they're getting ready to go off to college. So. Okay, so close that one. Next one. Sheriff, can you talk about your folks? You got two deputies in there, and then you've got some building maintenance.
No sign of any funding for those two positions. What we have with those two those would be core positions due to the increase, and with the new judges we have coming next year, we've already we figured out now we're going to have court every Monday. So we're going to have to do something with our fingerprinting services that we provide to the public, because that was our court staff that did that. And if I don't get the deputies, we'll go back to the old days of we'll pull somebody from here and pull somebody from there. But that means taking somebody off the street, taking a resource officer out of the school, taking an animal control person, something. But if we get the two judge, well, we're getting the two judges, how much they increase our load, it will tell the tale. Because when you have multiple prisoners on different levels in the courthouse, you have to have additional staff. You have one person with the judge to be with the prisoner on each level, and then if you have multiple prisoners in the cells, you have to have somebody downstairs watching on the cameras. Make sure the prisoners are behaving well. You can't leave them alone, in other words. But you can watch multiple floors of people. And then you always have to have a person on the front door. And that still doesn't give you anybody to come around and let somebody go to the bathroom. it's going to be it's not only us. It's going to be other jurisdictions, too, because the caseloads are so backed up is the reason that the legislators have added those extra judges, because it's starting to affect the speedy trial process. And once you get into that and get into a lot of problems. We've supplemented our staff already for the last 2 years with reserves, and we're hoping we get a little bit of help out of the new reserves we're getting. But the two main ones that work 3 days a week for us every week, they're probably in their last year or so. But it's I don't see the funding coming from the state this year. There were a lot of what ifs in that budget for all the jurisdictions. So.
Are you still planning on doing the chief deputy?
Well, I could do without that before. I mean, that just takes, you know, gets the structure in the office better, and it really means I can dump some of my work off on people. So if that's the first thing that can go with my budget, I can tell you that.
And when would the new deputies need to start, based on the judges coming out?
We would. There's no way we could get anybody hired and working because the judges come July 1, too.
Okay.
So, you know, we're going to be, you know, and it truly, I can't sit here and tell you that we're going to have two courts 3 days a week, because the judges don't even know. Because we keep, matter of fact, what we thought was going to be one of our judges just got switched today.
If you had just one, what would be the impact?
If we had one, it'd be better than nothing. Absolutely.
And just one thing to add to that, too, going down to this budget. So if you do add those deputies, down below, there's a lot, there's other costs associated.
Scroll down, you'll see.
There's about $30,000.
So you take two deputies, cost $1,800 to increase in their vehicles. You got the.
Keep going for the look on things.
You got everything from their training. If they're not certified, we have to send them to the academy. The increase in the meals, all those things are factored in there as for two people. So if it's only one, then that figure gets cut in half.
So this 117 doesn't include those things.
It does not. No, ma'am. So the 107 is actually probably going to be closer to 140.
So in police supplies, okay. You see there, so to outfit a deputy with all the equipment that they need is $2,000. And one thing you don't see is asking for in here is the money for the two new vehicles. We're going to make the older one stretch. So that's not including vehicles for those folks. But we do have to add in the equipment, the wear and tear, and the replacement, which we have been working on the last several years, and we've gotten that down pat. And when you bring somebody in new, you got to start them out with all the new gear if you don't have something that maybe fits. Like we share shirts and things like that as long as they do. The gun belts don't necessarily always fit folks. You scroll down. The $12,277, if you don't remember, we have to recycle our firearms every 5 years because the night sights on them go bad. So the night sights to replace every firearm would be about $109. Well, with the trade-in and getting a brand new weapon, we're coming out ahead. So it's one of those we've talked about over and over again is the life cycle. Of equipment. I think we had some. Where was the other C2W go up? Mm-hmm. So right there, $11,088. You can take that off the board. That's just an additional tracking mechanism to go inside the vehicles and with our radio system. I mean that's an added safety feature. But the one thing we got this year that's free from Sprint. Is every deputy now will have a mesh cover that covers their bulletproof vest, and should that bulletproof vest be punctured in an accident, a knife, or a bullet, it automatically sends a signal to dispatch and lets them know exactly where they are.
Wow.
So it kind of it's counterproductive of what the vehicle is. So mm-hmm. I feel fairly comfortable. Matter of fact, we're one of the first agencies to get those in a package that we worked out with Sprint, which lowered our phone services. And they're going to feature us at the sheriff's conference to get other people to come on board for that. So that's something that I could do without.
So right now the 11 is included
is in the budget.
Is
that would cover a lot of the training if you hired one deputy. Mm-hmm. So if you move one deputy over to the budget balance worksheet, you could do 53 plus 17.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, I'll go through.
Because if you've got that offset there, you could probably do it. So. The thing is, if we hire somebody that's certified, that's where it's the biggest savings to the county. I mean, you're talking $4,000 in meals. You're talking 20
if you can get it.
26 weeks of pay while they're learning. But that pool of certified people is continually shrinking and outlawed. You know, God bless them. They got a great pay plan over there for public safety, and as you can see, all the people that are leaving some of the other places, they're taking from Nelson County, the city of Charlottesville, UVA. You know, people are going to that because they can see where they're going to be further down the road.
Right. Did you hear something on the news today about how the Commonwealth Attorney and Sheriff's Department, because you have these body cameras, are causing more work because you have to have the time to sit down and view the body cameras. So it's putting a lot of pressure on Sheriff and Commonwealth Attorney. So, you know, we are almost, I know you'll keep us abreast of that, but we almost need to look, keep that in forefront. For the future, because it's going to require more people.
Right, and the state addressed that for Commonwealth attorneys in their budget for staffing. Need to know whether they're going to fill those positions. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know that the Commonwealth attorneys lobbied for that, and it's something industry wide, especially here in Virginia. If you have the body cams up, but you have you have the accountability. Mm-hmm. You know what happened at that scene.
Right.
And that's good, you know, where how do you weigh that out from being sued or some of the stuff you see on TV, you know?
How
can this man be 17?
So what do we put over here with the one deputy?
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out.
The number's off.
It is. This is way off. It's off by about $30,000. But anyway, if you put one deputy over with all the changes on there nominally, you can get to about 60 with the various changes in there, 60 or 65.
Well, let's jump back to 70, knowing that the numbers are off.
Eric's going to add up. It has to be because the top two are 118 by themselves. And then there's a whole bunch of pinks down below.
But are we including the 11 up top? Is that what you're saying?
No. This right here.
Yes.
Go back to the.
Because there's some decreases too, if I remember correctly, down below.
Could be. Is it from 443 from 366? It's not very much of a decrease.
Oh, in your budget, Steve, you added the actual cost for the holiday and discretion. See,
we did.
Right. That's what's driving that one.
No, that's in there. That's in the personnel costs. Okay. But if you add up all the pinks down below, the things that aren't funded. That's $32,000. Take the 11 off. That's still $20,000. So we'll have to rebalance that one. We would estimate half of those to add the thing. Don't worry about now, Eric. We'll do it later.
But any of those highlighted, you can divide into.
Okay. Right. All the ones that are related to the deputy.
Except that one there. That's going to be a triple because we got to add in the new SRO. If you see SRO, that has to be added in too.
We'll figure it out.
There's other increases besides just the deputy stuff, the pink stuff.
So
it can't be 117 that's missing then. So anyway, if you want one deputy,
tweak that
way. Mine was 60, and we slid that over. So close that, Eric, and go back to the budget balance.
I'd like to include the $2,000 for the intern for the HR department. I mean, we've been told many times that the HR department needs two people.
Well, we have a plan to help that, and I'll tell you about that later. So, without any new cost.
So I shouldn't put it over?
No, ma'am. Oh, you can put it there, but I'm going to tell you something later on.
Oh,
a personnel issue that we can talk about too. So just nominally, we sat $60,000 out there for one of those deputies out of mm-hmm. those lines. The staff appreciation picnic. I mean, not staff. Emergency services. Fire, rescue, and police, something that the county would sponsor every year to do a kind of a family picnic honoring our volunteers and especially our reserve deputies, but also our paid deputies, but then volunteer fire and rescue folks that serve our community. There's nothing that the county does right now to recognize them. Tanaska used to do an annual thing, and there's other stuff that happens, and lots of people appreciate it, but it'd be nice if the county had something. And so Debbie's got that in her budget as a wedge. It's not very much money, but I think it would go a long way to at least expressing appreciation.
And build camaraderie and morale.
Especially if the $2,500 was $500 in potato chips and $2,000 in beer.
Right. Okay.
So let's slide that over if you want to consider it there.
Yeah, okay. I would.
Fire and rescue, I think it's pretty tight, but there's some dollars in there for the fire chief, and there's dollars in there for certifications for the fire chief if that gets approved. But you haven't even considered that yet. Next week, you'll consider the position description just to get the position description validated. But then you're going to have to talk about whether you want to do it or not, and everybody else will chime in on that. So,
yeah, let's. I think we table that for now, right?
Pardon? Yeah, I think that's a next week discussion with all five of you. Keep going down, Eric, please. Okay, so the public animal shelter, bottom line is to fund them fully next year for what you committed to this year with what was in the agreement and the pay increase is $202,000. Fred and I have worked on redrafting the agreement with them to use that kind of as a baseline. But remember, animal control, please. But we also met with their board
and their president of finance, Eric, and I met with them to talk about, okay, of pound operations, what percentage of the stuff you do is directly attributable to county animal shelter services? Because that's what you're paying for, is county animal shelter services, and it has to meet state code, state requirements. So the estimates we put against it were 75%, 100%, 0%, 50% on various different kinds of things. So that the board of FSPCA and Mr. Dahl and I have agreed that that makes sense on those functions. If you want to go to the full funding for that, it's about $300,000. What you committed to this last year was to get that pay raise and their base, and that was 202. So anything you above the 202, you really need to talk about now and think if that makes sense. Now, clearly it makes sense to me that they wouldn't need that much insurance unless they were running a public animal shelter. Clearly they wouldn't need that many spay and neuter dollars if they were just doing their own function as an SPCA and not as a public animal shelter. So that's how we came up with these percentages, but it is a $100,000 increase. The alternative, and built into that is some out-year pay plans to try to get their pay off. Remember, it was $8 an hour, no benefits. You raised it to 10. Trying to get it incrementally up to 11, 12, 13, something a little bit more reasonable that can actually keep people employed, but not all in one year. So the 300 takes it up some percentage of that and starts covering some of these other costs. At a minimum, you probably have to bite off the 202. But 202 is last year's number, so add some inflation to that, add some additional cost, and start thinking really hard about what you've committed to run a public animal shelter. And if they weren't doing it, you'd have to have your own. You don't have a choice, or you have to contract with someone else. If you contract with the Goochland, Louisa, Charlottesville, or Albemarle, or Buckingham, you would take deputies off the road in droves, in hours at a time, because of the distance to go to get to those shelters. And plus you have to pay the contract cost for it. So I think this is the cheapest alternative you've got, and maintaining them is a lot cheaper than buying your own. Goochland, when they built theirs 3 years ago, was $2.5 million for their new public animal shelter. Yeah. So not counting staffing costs.
So we're doing 75% of their cost.
Well, largely, different things. Basically. You can run down through there. Some are 75%, some are 0, some are 100%, some are 50. It really depends on what we thought. Like 75% essentially of the animals in the shelter are attributable to public animal shelter services. So that's why we split the food 75-25. Things like fundraising, we're not paying for their fundraising expenses. That's something they do as a nonprofit. So we put 0% there. Some other things like microchipping, spay and neuter, you wanted that. You put it in the contract. You want all animals that go through their shelter to be spay and neutered and microchipped.
Do they do that now?
They do, yes. And so that's something you want to kind of guarantee, so you really kind of need to cover 100. But again, the difference between full funding based on this and full funding based on the commitment from this last year is between 202 and the states normally say 202 and 302. It's a $100,000 difference. So if you're going to incrementally get to that, maybe only bite off $50,000 this year and then $50,000 the year after. But remember, it's the cheapest alternative you've got for public animal shelter services that you're required to provide.
So out of the $103,000, you're saying you could put in $60,000 right now?
Well, it would be absolutely better than what they have now to operate. And if they operate now on 202 and you put some more dollars to it, they could give some more increases to their staff. I think you ought to start thinking about using the same rates you do for county staff for any pay raises to apply that same money to their staff each year. Now, they need to get caught up a little bit because they're still at $10 an hour. But you can do that in subsequent years because they're going to end up acting like a department. They're going to come in with their budget request, explain what they've got. It'll be based on the cost of doing business like any other department.
So remember, the 404 is 405 is what they requested. 301 is what is in the county admin's budget. So if you don't want to fund 301, you're taking money off the budget balance sheet.
405, though, that's the actual full funding.
Full funding. Mm-hmm.
That's 100% of every line. Mm-hmm. So the 301 is these percentages of every line. So the full operational cost of the pound, personnel's cost and everything is 405. The
potential recommended budget if you want to get to your share is 301. But remember, you're at 202 now. You need to put some towards it, if nothing else.
So what? Where's this? Is 103,431?
That's if you go.
I thought that's 75%.
That's if you.
Huh?
That's if you go from the 301 to the 405. If you wanted to fund 100% of what they're asking for of their full operational expense, that's the 103.
And we don't expect you to do that. Is 301 actually in the budget?
But yes. 75% is.
Is 301 in the budget?
Yeah.
Show me.
It's 10.
Please show me.
Oh, 103.
Go to the main sheet.
So the 301 nominated is rounded off. The 301 is actually in the budget.
Okay.
I thought we were under that.
So what is the 103,431?
75%.
That's if you want to give them 405 funding. 100%.
You don't need to do that. You need to get to the 301.
Okay.
And it's in the budget.
So you want to back down
on that because you have to fund something else. You want to stay above the 202 and then incrementally get to 300, but it's already in there as a base.
What's that compared to? Presently, the 301, what was it before the 301?
202.
Right now it's 202. For
the 301 would start sharing up those percentages and give a little additional for their staff.
So you increase it by 50%?
Yes, because that's when we're going from, zero cities to 75%, whatever. That's what it comes out to percent-wise. Is a 50% increase.
Okay,
so close that one.
Hello.
That's my book
to tell. Nobody I know.
Okay, go back to the budget balance, please. Litter control. Do you want to do hazardous waste this year?
Okay. You're not moving those over.
No, you don't need to. It's already in. It's already in the budget. This is the additional to take up to 4 or 5% funding of everything, and you don't 100% fund the pound.
Unless you wanted to not fund them 301, you could take money off.
What I mean is, I'm moving these things over here, but you're not doing that.
We did all these.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
We haven't.
All right, you just hid them from me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm with you now.
Okay. So move the 25 up. So do you want to do a hazardous waste collection? It's tough on this. Do you want to do a hazardous waste collection this year?
How long has it been now?
Last year. Remember the debacle last year? And we ended up spending $18,000 when we thought we wanted to spend $13,000 because we were overrun by hundreds of cars. The plan was to move it to the high school parking lot whenever you do it the next time, so it's a little more orderly. Well, don't drive through fields.
Every 2 years.
I wouldn't do it again then if we just done it, like you said.
And it's not in the budget. You've been broken it every other year. So, okay? So move off on the next one. You're moving too fast, Parker.
Public Works, I believe, is next.
There you go. So Public Works, these are okay. They're just tightened up on a few things. We need to have the new Public Works director get in and get settled before we need to refund those, so they're okay. Same on the community center, same on public utilities, except on the public utilities one. Remember we talked about the director of public utilities. That position is on your agenda for next week, the position description. If you adopt that position description next week, my intention is to begin hiring action the next day so we can get somebody on board by July 1st. But remember, there's half a year funding in there already, but the other half a year, I said that we had a public utilities person that was approved in 18 that we have never filled. That was $43,000. We would apply that baked into the budget already to that position and not fill that. So it's a one for one. It would fill that one for the budget. So we don't need any additional money.
So
to
this
do that.
Is a new position.
Yes, the director of public utilities.
So you're going to get a job description, you said, next year.
Yes, job description for that, and the fire chief will be on your budget next on your agenda next week on the action items. So we don't need any funding there, but we'll talk about it next week. Remind you about the $43,000 that was already budgeted, but it'll apply towards that director of public utilities. Ms. Babe, can you talk about your two positions on social services, please? Just to remind them. Pull that one up, please.
We requested a part-time fraud investigator position that investigates fraud of benefit programs, Medicaid, SNAP, child care, TANF. And we also requested a full-time family services specialist that would be working in foster care due to our three current foster care staff earning burnout. We need to step up our foster home recruitment efforts in order to keep kids in the county and keep them from being placed outside of the county, which is more expensive to CSA. And it's more time for the workers to have to travel out of the county to do their visits. And with foster home recruitment, it's more than just getting the word out. It's, we have to have someone that can take those phone calls. You may spend an hour on the phone with someone who's just interested. And then you'll go out and meet with them. And then the approval process is very time consuming. It involves multiple home visits with the family, background checks, employment checks, medical testing, and it's a very long process, and right now we just don't have the manpower to do that.
And this is it doesn't include state reimbursement.
Sure.
The 71,930.
For the family services specialist, the cost is $57,220. We can pull down $19,455 federal dollars, which leaves $37,765 local dollars.
And the fraud person
is in the fraud position.
That's not what it says there. It's, we're running at 40, Kim, with benefits it'd be 53.
Oh,
you're saying
57?
Did
you have family insurance there? Because that may have been the difference.
Probably.
Okay. So, but anyway, between 50 and 60.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you think you can do the fraud investigator part-time for 15?
Well, I know we talked about that when I did the presentation. You suggested adding a few thousand to that.
I don't know. What do you all think?
And typically what we've done is we just ask for the minimum salary, and then if we have to bring someone in at higher than that, we tend to find it within our own budget. The issue, problem with that now is our budget's so tight that that money's not there.
That's what personnel contingency is for, because that funds your department too. So, but I would ask for what you think it takes
right,
to hire
because
that
because if you advertise it, that may not get any money.
So can we just now I'm going to change that to 20? Mm-hmm. Okay, so 20 there, run 20 there just so we can get a number. And let's say 57 on the top one, so you're talking about 80 between the two positions. Go back to the front.
And the federal match to that is 34%.
So 34% out of the 80?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 27K or something, 26K? Okay, so you're really talking about 55,000
for both.
Yeah, so if go back to the main sheet up there. You could, if you're gonna budget balance, if you're gonna move that over, you can move it over and put it on that side for 55 in county dollars. We'll have to add theirs in.
Well, no, we're gonna add the,
actually the whole thing.
You're gonna add the full amount. You have to add the revenue.
So add the 80 there. And then we'd add the revenue down below and we'll offset it.
What would be the impact of starting December instead of June at one or two of those positions?
I think that's doable. If we did, I would prefer to start the fraud investigator later.
Okay.
I feel like we're at a critical point where we really do need the foster care position.
So you could take this down to 70 then if you only did it half year on the fraud investigator. What was the total for the fraud investigator with benefits?
It was 21 something. 21.
That's not it.
No,
that's not
it. That's
not part time. That's not enough money to even. I don't think we ought, if we do this, I don't think we ought to skip on anything that deals with our children and the.
Then we need a spray part.
We check them out there and spray them. But that's
okay, so go back to the
that's
budget
needed.
House, please. And leave the 80 there. That covers both of them full year. If during budget season we need to ramp back, we can even look at it and see. So.
Because we have how many kids in foster care now?
20.
Aaron Spitzer gave you his spiel 2 weeks ago on the Parks and Recreation. Anything in there that just piqued your interest that you really want to kind of slide forward?
Let's see.
How about the 25th anniversary Pleasant Grove celebration?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yes.
And he needs another person too, right?
Yeah.
He's like, he wanted his own.
He wanted a part-time maintenance staff for summer.
For summer.
7 or 8 months out of the year.
And what was that?
March to October.
I think it's 35 weeks.
How many months is it?
6 months.
Seven months.
Okay.
My fingers are all down in my bed. I don't think you can get away with running the kitchen without that serve safe person.
That's right.
You have to have those two part-timers.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we needed the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, the 25th, yeah.
What's the total in there for 25th anniversary?
$6,000. If you did three sides of the fence, you could take off about $6,400.
We're not talking about fence.
Why not?
We're talking about the
25th
anniversary celebration. But as we went down.
Celebration?
And he needs his uniforms for sure. Yeah, like you said, they were all
how much
shot. Uniforms weren't that
much. That was $500.
And they last a year.
Yeah, it's just an increase to the budget.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, what's
the total in there? 80? What'd you say?
Speaking of head nods and no nods, did Mr. Sheridan submit any of his wants?
No, he's cruising and he wasn't really interested in.
Okay. I just want to make sure that he was recognized and had his opportunity.
Yes, he'll
have his opportunity next week, I think. So,
Yeah.
So what total went in that line for parks?
We didn't put anything in.
Oh.
We need head nods. So are you on board with the serve safe 13,000? Mm-hmm.
Serve safe. And
for the kitchen, okay?
But I'm
one no.
Well, you don't have a kitchen if you don't have
that. That's right, because you got to have
a kitchen. I never thought we should have a kitchen.
Even at church, we have to have.
We go back to that.
You can't go back to it. I mean, I'm just saying.
You can't because they're too far gone.
We have to have trained church people to be in our kitchen if we put our kitchen out. It's a safety issue.
Yeah, we don't have any choice. The law changed since the kitchen was approved.
Right.
And we don't have a choice. There has to be somebody there when someone's renting the kitchen, unfortunately.
I want to see all the profits we're going to make on it.
I will have John Thompson come talk to you.
Yes.
We haven't finished it yet.
We have to get the serve safe person in there first before we see any profits.
And we still have some more equipment and go right around.
Yeah, all the equipment.
All the stand now?
Yes.
So it's ready to open other than the serve safe.
I'm coming down there and bake some pies.
We'll rent it to you. How's that?
Okay, close out this one. We'll come back to
first customer.
We'll go back to the budget balance, and just mark this one in mark this block in bright yellow so we can come back to it and revisit it next week. Okay, and
who told
library.
You we want to leave? Huh? I'm ready. I was ready to stay.
I know we are, but I can't get you to make a collective decision. So we'll mark.
Mr. Weaver didn't say no. He just said we're too far gone. Mrs. Eager said
so.
No,
did you say yes?
Yes,
I didn't say.
What he's saying is he doesn't want to be the deciding vote. So well,
it doesn't bother me. I feel comfortable in that position.
Indeed. So what, Cindy, can you talk about your stuff, please?
I was looking for an additional part-timer to go up to 3 people on Saturdays so that we could better cover how busy we are getting on Saturdays, as well as maybe offer some programs for the kids that can't make it during the week. And I think it's like $6,000 to add one part-timer.
And you got $3,000 extra, I think you said, that it came in extra from the library.
So just from last year to
this year? Yeah,
from last year to this year, the state increased our state aid about $6,000, and then they increased it an additional $3,000. But I can't use that for staff. I can only use that for certain things.
Then switch the money. You can switch the money around. use it for where you're supposed to, and then... You know,
So one thing to note, just to know, we don't have the updated revised figure in here. So Eric, scroll down.
Yeah, that old figure.
So. The 90,000, it should be 93,000 and some change. But I mean, it's a wash. It's not new. Mm-hmm. Not new money necessarily.
No,
you're gonna put the revenue and then the expense on both sides.
I'm okay with that.
With the extra person?
Yeah.
Me too.
Library's really
good. Yeah, I think it's all right.
Cranking.
So 60, whatever the last number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 63, go back to the budget balance. And pop 63 over on the other side. Part-time version. And just make it 60, where it's rounded to 64. So don't get goofy on this. The planner, Jason. So open planner, please. Move that stop. Move open planner.
You all did approve the position description for our principal planner. Our line of thinking is we're going to pick up and increase complex plans, new designs, crossroads, and also we're continually asking our senior planner to do more complex functions. And also, as Steve talked about last week when you all approved the position description, we only intend to fund two of the positions at a time. We would have a planner, senior planner, and a principal planner. So theoretically, we would have a ladder position where someone could grow into a senior planner role, or a senior planner could potentially grow into the principal planner role.
And it's one of the, I said this before, but I think it's the final department that didn't have ladder mm-hmm. positions. So of the three position descriptions, they would only ever fill two like they do now, but you'd have three opportunities so that someone could stay and get promoted after they've been here a while or if they've got extra skills. So that would be the 5,800.
And I think that's real important.
I think so too, and you all have done a really good job for staff in creating ladder positions mm-hmm. in a very small county staff
right.
that we didn't have before, so people can get promoted
sure.
while they're here.
And you don't lose people.
So go back up to the budget balance. And the other stuff, what was the other stuff, Jason? Some education and training things, or furniture and memberships. Well, what were the memberships?
We like to keep all of our staff enrolled in American Planning Association and get them the training that they need to get certifications. Virginia Association of Zoning Officials, they have the Certified Zoning Administrator Program. Our ENS Plans Reviewer has to continually keep up his program, our Combined Administrative Certification. And we're trying to get everybody certified as an inspector, ENS inspector,
scroll down. Room furniture.
So we said we'll have more flexibility when our plans reviewer is tied up with doing plan review, which we expect to get more plan review in. So he's not out inspecting a single family home that's pretty routine inspection. We can have other staff cover that so he can concentrate on complex.
Yeah, and then mm-hmm. the training is only $500 difference. And the storage, what I've asked Jason to do, they've made a huge dent in it already. If you ever go down to the erosion and sediment control and code enforcement officer, it's sometimes hard to get in the door because there's paper stacked everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's no longer there.
Good.
But we need all those plans digitized and or stored in the type of rack so mm-hmm. you don't have to have it stacked on your desk. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very sightly, very, very good looking, but it's gone now. And Jason and his staff have cleaned that up. But we do need some storage for those types of plans. Mm-hmm. We're starting to digitize more and more. But the stuff that's remaining, we've got to at least have storage cabinets for it. So we need to upgrade a couple of cabinets. So
yeah, we're
at least part of that.
We don't generally, or we're not generally able to get rid of documents because we have people for reference for making zoning determinations or.
And the darn law gets in the way.
Except when we have a roundabout on 53. Yeah. And then
so we're fast running out of space, which we talked about with the folks in reference space study. But we do need to think about digitizing and. Expanding our storage space because we're fast running out of space, as is everyone in Gordon.
So between all of that, it's about 75. Go back to the budget balance. It's about 7,500 for that position, and then nominally for the APA memberships and the furniture. So 7,500 to consider there.
Their budget hasn't increased.
Where is that?
Is that right here?
Seems reasonable.
The 7,500.
Yeah.
Mr. Weaver?
Sure.
It's okay.
Okay, let's pop that over. And just for the discussion here, now move it up, please. Planning Commission, we're going to move right on by. We're not going to put the 3,000 back there. We don't need it for this year. Economic Development, what's not funded in there is the big rock stuff. Go Virginia money, the shovel-ready sites program, and strategic plan development. We've got a rocket surgeon on board now who can probably do a lot of that, and is already networked with a lot of the area folks. So I would rather have that sit for a little bit and let him get settled in. But the Go Virginia support and the shovel-ready sites program stuff are always there for placeholders. We put in there every year to remind you that if we get a Go Virginia project like Albemarle and Charlottesville just did today, just got awarded $500,000+ order for a joint project, whatever it was, out of Go Virginia. There is a matching requirement on some of those things, and so we need to be able to keep that in mind. If we're going to apply for a Go Virginia grant, it's going to be for a big reason that you all would approve in advance, and you know that there's some kind of match. So it doesn't need to be funded now, but if there is, you'll have to keep that in mind. Anything else, Brian, that you saw under that you want to point out?
When do we know when additional help is needed in the economic
staffing?
Because
definitely not now.
Yeah,
he needs an advertising.
We don't want to.
It used to be $10,000. He's just saying.
He's already doing lots of advertising.
But you can get overwhelmed.
We put a lot up. We've been getting press like crazy. He's been 4 interviews already, or 3
right.
Radio tomorrow.
I saw him on TV.
Radio tomorrow.
Right, but I'm just concerned that we do consider additional staff, because one person just cannot when we get to really moving, and we don't want him to get overwhelmed.
No, I agree, but the Economic Development team is not just the Economic Development Coordinator. It's the EDC, the Planning Director, who's
right,
the boss, the County Administrator, and the Finance Director.
That doesn't satisfy me. So, I'm talking about somebody who said no.
You can put whatever you like over Ms. Booker.
I will.
I'm just not recommending. I think we're okay.
All I want to do is keep it in mind.
It is important to keep in mind, yes.
At some point down the road, I mean, other counties, Green County, Orange County, they have two, but I don't think we're at that point yet.
Yeah. You just keep it in mind. This area.
It's what many places end up doing is eventually they'll find a small rural economic development program. They'll find someone who concentrates just on marketing.
Yeah.
Or someone part time initially. Right. And frees up an economic development person to do more complex things.
Sure.
Well, one of the things we're doing too is marketing has slid over into public information, and marketing is in the ACA position. So that will take some of that load off, so it supports economic development and what he's doing. So that's part of the reason for that ACA position.
Wouldn't we want the Go Virginia numbers to be in like more of a CIP thing than, because isn't it going to be a one-time thing?
I don't think you can do it as a CIP because it's not a physical thing.
It's not an actual asset, it's just programming.
It's like a professional service fee rather than a something that's tangible in your hand. So I don't think we can,
unless
finance wise we classify it. You could ask
unless some point too the board want to say, okay, well we want to put so much into the EDA,
so we just have an EDA wedge or whatever, right. The case
is. Well, and if you go back to CIP up at the very top, you've got these capital depreciation funds for county and schools, and you've got Go Virginia program support, and we've got kind of a space there for it, because our EDA is getting anxious. Thank the Lord, they're actually anxious to start doing stuff, and they're really kind of gung-ho. They were like, we had to hold them back last night because they wanted to go buy property over the county. They're anxious, but what they need is they need resources. If you just even put $25,000 a year seed money in the EDA, it gets funded the way you all want it done, but then they have the ability to do stuff that you can't do as a county. And it's what most counties do for substantive economic development, or buying business parks or doing negotiations with businesses. They use their EDA as a conduit, just like you did with CVEC. So I would keep this and EDA in mind. Maybe we'll add another line that says EDA program support.
it's really not truly CID, but it's a wedge we want, so.
They have some money.
Yeah, they've got.
$28,000?
Yeah, $28,000 or something. Then they got $35,000 set aside for the shovel-ready sites program that you put there.
Yeah.
But they don't have money to go buy something.
Something big came up, it'd be pretty.
Yeah, well, they have some property up at Zion Crossroads they want to buy. I'm not sure what they do with it after they bought it, but I'm not sure who would manage it. Last time last meeting, they wanted to buy some property that was already built because they want to use it as rental houses. And I was kind of wondering, okay, well, who's going to manage the rental house? Certainly not county staff. So they're thinking through all this stuff. But again, the funding comes from either they do debt service, bank qualified loans through folks, and they earn fees off it, or the county feeds them. Or they've got an income stream like a business park. So, Mrs. Eagle was there last night and can tell you how energetic they were. So.
They were.
Even more so after you left.
Yeah. No more soda for them at the meeting. So.
Yeah, but if we put that, I would see putting the money in either economic development budget earmarked for the EDA or something like that, where it just pushed in for one fiscal year.
And this is here just a reminder to you, because it's also in the economic development budget, but you need to think about those things every year, because it is a way to move ahead. It may be hard to do right now, but it is a way to move ahead. So close that, please. Back to budget balance. And schools, let's say you wanted to do the five that they're asking for. You want to slide five over to see what it does?
Does that 750 include the 250 still?
750 was a previous number.
It was a swag.
Yeah, it was a swag. So really the number right now is 500.
But that 500 does not include the 250.
Oh, no, the 250 is they are planning on proposing to you that at the end of this fiscal year, they're going to have operational dollars left. They want to move that into CIP to buy the 250 server.
Gotcha.
Right.
So,
okay.
Which is great, because that money would have gone back to fund balance anyway, and you would have then used it for CIP, but you don't have to go find it new.
See, now I thought that they wanted it in the CIP for this year.
Well, no, I'm sorry, you're right. They may want to do it now, but they'll put it back in. Timing-wise, it depends on when they need to buy the server, when it needs to be installed. But he told us when we were there the other day that they couldn't start installing until March of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they really need in this fiscal year. But anyway, didn't they say that we're going to decide when we do the carryover in September, October?
Well, they were talking about two things. They were talking about the servers, and they were talking about Chromebooks also.
Yeah, the Chromebooks we weren't going to fund. That was out of their operations. So we'll get the follow-up with them. But I'm pretty sure they don't need the 250 till until late in the fiscal year.
No support for me on that one.
I said 450 over there.
450, okay. Put 450 on that side. Anybody say 422?
Well, what else do we have other than schools right now?
Okay.
We have.
For our other stuff down below?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah. So on, that's the Parks and Rec stuff, the spray ground and the kids playground that wasn't funded. The handicapped kids playground, and I really want to go after a grant for that, because I think that may be suitable, but we need to have some services for that.
Steve, the one thing we
public
don't have.
Public Works.
Had an O in there.
I don't think you need to adjust that now. We really want to get the new team settled in, but Eric. So.
All the Palmyra Sewer, FUSD, ZXR, and then if you go back up to Public Utilities, there's a number in there for the public utilities, if the board wants to put that position in there, we'll have to add some dollars over to that side. Because remember, the public utilities director, his costs are split between all those budgets.
Right. We'll realign that. It's in your budget half a year. The other 43 we'll put in. It's in your budget, but it's spread through multiple departments, because it gets cost allocated to FUSD, to sewer, to Zion Crossroads, etc. So.
So this is the amount in the CIP that's not funded in your budget, basically.
Yep. So the two Parks and Rec things, the public work stuff that I think we can probably hold on. Public safety, go back to public safety, please.
The majority of it's the apparatus.
Yep.
I mean, you got probably about $1 million in apparatus.
You mean the...
Yeah, what was the total for
no, like, I mean, fire trucks, yeah, all the trucks, the ambulance.
Million 108, 1.082.
Right.
Is what the tanker 10 and the ambulance 49 and then the chief one and
other thing of the lava.
Right.
Water rescue.
Yeah, that's it, the water rescue.
Well, I mean, there's no, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not going to stick $1 million over there, and sticking in $250,000 or whatever the case may be doesn't really solve the need.
No, but if you want to buy the tanker, then slide it over and put 50K there for debt service. Or,
well, that's what I'm saying.
We're putting it here.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
just put it in as a debt service way.
We're either going to put 50,000 here and it's in the other column because we're going to, I mean, sorry, not 50,000. We're going to put whatever dollar amount you want to purchase something.
Right.
And so we're going to put the full cost of it here in the other column. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have debt service on the other page.
On the other side.
But we're going to have to also add in a debt service payment.
So,
the only thing that will affect the tax rate is the debt service payment.
Right.
But would you say so for right now, 50 or 60,
for right now, go over, go back
it's gonna be, it's gonna be balance. That'd be about 60.
Right, for 460,
yeah,
for all of them.
For all of
them. Well, no, I'm just looking at the depending on what interest rates are, but we did the one truck for $475,000 for 10 years, and that was $60,000 a year.
So put a $60,000 wedge over there, even though it's going to have to change. We have to put total and total down below.
Put up debt service.
Put $60,000.
No there. Up debt service.
Because
right.
You're not concerned about community service, which is what's the didn't we want at least $25,000 from the CIP community services because we needed that for the parks?
No, it was two things. It was the kids park expansion we're trying to go grant funding on.
Oh, okay.
And it was $100,000
for the okay. So
$125,000 or $100,000 for spray park.
So we're tabling that.
And so we don't have the spray park anywhere.
It's on the sheet on the CIP.
Yeah, right, but we haven't.
And the schools there, that's the buses primarily, right?
Down here?
Yeah.
A little more than that. Go into the schools, CIP. So it includes money pulled out of student transport vehicles, out of Abrams renovation that got pushed out, the 125 to next year, and some school buses that went from cash to next year. So these two, what was this? Was it 75? Yeah, we moved 25,000 out of there, and we moved 125 out of here, so 150 is what came out of there. Besides the CIP stuff, the computer instruction, the 300K that moved over. So that's the 450 is 125, right. 25, and 300.
Gotcha.
That went to there. And I think you can probably live with all those, but schools have to answer that question. But I think they can probably live with all those as is. And we're hoping this will come down a little bit.
So really it's the school buses and the roof.
Yep. Go back and their CRM. Go back to budget balance. Okay, so the schools, that's the 125, the 25, and the 300 is 450. And where was the other 150? Was that was it the cash?
So we pulled 150 out of the school bus.
Oh, it was the cash here.
Yeah.
It was the cash pulled out of that line. So that's the 600. 150, 300, 25, and 125 is the 600 that's not funded.
Mm-hmm.
Budget balance. And then Palmyra Sewer. We're okay. We need to work with all those as we figure out where that director salary stuff goes because it gets cost allocated. But Eric and company can mush that out and figure it out. So right now you're at $609,000 in the hole. You're probably going to get a little bit smidge more revenue.
So what's that? What's the rate now? 90.
That's 2 cents. If you want,
94.
It'd be 94.3.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it'd be 94.3 because it's 309 of a penny.
But we haven't put it. I mean, we still have the schools to deal with. But as far as this.
No, we got 450 in there.
We put
450,000 in there for the schools.
You're done with everything that needs to be in there.
So you're including in the 450 the CIP.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
You're done. If you wanted to go just adopt it at 94.3, I'm pretty sure you want some more discussion, especially next week. And it's possible that you all, with 2 hours of discussion next week with Mr. Sheridan, you might be ready to set a 93.9 or whatever. I don't know. But if not, we'll move into the following week.
And I'm assuming we'll probably get some updates and we'll request some taxable value updates before next budget.
He will come to the rescue with
something. Before, did we suggest a tax rate and then backed out?
We advertised a max rate of 94.9.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But I'm saying we are 2 pennies now.
Yeah,
609, 615. So
change this change them to 94.
Yeah, we did like
94.2.
94.2, what we have, and then we just pulled things away until we came to a comfortable.
So at 94.2, you're only 20,000 off. Forget
that.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
At 94.2, you're balanced.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
But again, you need discussion on the things you put in there. Look at them again next week and have Mr. Sheridan chime in. But right now, you could balance at 94.2.
And the equalized rate was
89.3.
And honestly, at this
is about 5%.
With this 19,000 short, we're probably balanced right now because that includes a 1% increase for staff. So we're going to get, we would get some state.
Right. We don't have the state money for constitutional issues and social services.
So we would have a balanced budget right now.
And Mr. Sheridan, Mel Sheridan will probably come in and rescue us with.
When you tell him that the pay raise is only going to be 1.5% and he's planning on 2% because he's going on vacation, you'll find a little bit different.
Yeah.
So, the commissioner always has an iterative process because he doesn't know stuff until through this budget season. Mm-hmm. And every week you're going to get more numbers. So
I guess I would ask if anybody has some additional comments here in terms of what we've put up there so far.
We put 60,000 for the winch.
Yeah, which seems a little low, but that's
for what?
For the fire truck winch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe it's 70. Maybe put 70 in there.
But I'm worried about the other three things. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, it depends. I mean.
We'll still have that.
Finance a $65,000 view. If we were going to buy cheap.
Oh. No, I hate to do that too.
What was the other thing you said?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they want to include other things. I mean, if we're talking like doing like a big bolus of like, you know, this and this and this, well, then maybe it's...
Big bolus of what?
Different apparatus.
A wedge. So put 150,000 there or something, then you got a balance change on top. So.
And we're pretty much...
I think it may be good to sit here for now, think about it through the week, talk to folks, get calls from people. We'll have the schools here next week. We can have fire and rescue back, at least some of the reps, especially rescue. And then Mr. Sheridan will be here. And you'll have some chance to kind of mush through it. We don't have a very long meeting next week, so that'll be good. So you'll have your two-hour work session, dinner and closed session, and then your board meeting. And then you can do a little more. If you decide you get to a number, then we can do it and you can advertise and still work on it the following week. Remember, you just can't go up from whatever you advertise. So whatever your max is, you'd want to advertise, but not go any. And remember, you can't go beyond that if you advertise. If you give us a number next week,
then
you can still adopt the 17.
We didn't put any money in for Parks and Rec, so there's some minor differences there too.
Yeah, and it may be 25,000 for programs or whatever, and you could put a wedge there, and he can tell you how it's going to be laid out. As long as it meets your needs, then you're kind of done with that. But Parks and Rec does a really good job, and I can't use them as an example all the time. I said we only have big money in personnel and programs.
Mm-hmm.
And I use the example all the time talking to staff. If we cut the entire Parks and Rec department,
you're not even
talking 2 cents on the tax rate, but can you imagine the outcry in the community if all Parks and Rec went away?
They're going to put out 5,000 eggs and the kids find them in 15 minutes.
And my granddaughter said, got to find the golden egg,
that's plastic. They do plastic eggs with those stuff like that.
Yeah,
no, we're not talking about throwing eggs.
No, it sucks.
And besides the revenue that we have here, we don't really have any additional revenue sources to pull. We've obviously gone down the meals tax route, and we saw where that ended up. You know, there's the business license registration fee. You could do that.
But largely that would cover staff increase.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to be necessarily a big direct
salary increase.
We've got that already, too. Whenever you want to talk about business license again, I buffed it up again today. It's already, and we've talked. We've got the ordinance ready. We've got the budget estimates ready. We've got, different scenarios with the different rates and stuff ready. But you all have to decide if that's somewhere you want to go. I'll tell you, and Mr. Sheridan, Sheridan agrees with this, you are not going to be able to put an Airbnb transient occupancy tax in unless you have the business registration fee. it'll just be complete hit or miss otherwise.
And from the EDA meeting last night, too, they were...
Oh, they voted unanimously to support...
To support a business license.
Business license registration fee of say, you know, some nominal amount. That's their recommendation.
I'm in favor.
Not that we've been prodding them at all.
But we can't.
They didn't need any prodding last night.
No, they didn't. They and the chamber have talked about this a lot, and they're putting their due diligence to thinking about these things. And I don't disagree with them. It's just that, but it's we lay out to you the alternatives, pros and cons, and you all decide when you decide if you wanted to go forward or not go forward. So we have it teed up whenever you want. But if you want to stand pat there, we'll have this update for you. We can print out this budget balance worksheet before you leave. We'll give each one of you, so you've got a budget balance worksheet with you when you leave, so you can see the new numbers. Just print out the 11x17 big ones so they've got it, rather than the little ones. And then, so look at it next week, or through the week. If you've got questions between now and next Wednesday, holler, and we'll model something and have it ready for Wednesday. But Mr. Sherman will be back on Wednesday, and then it'll be, collectively, you can kind of go at it again.
He won't be worth 2 cents at the next meeting.
I said an hour and a half, so we have to stop now.
Hey, Steve, Mike won't be worth 2 cents. All that big loser.
After all those little drinks with umbrellas in them,
yeah,
on the ship.
Right.
Yes.
He'll need to rest from his vacation.
Yep.
He'll be all hyped up on Monday.
I've only been on GBGB cruises. That's the great big gray boats.
Yeah.
I haven't been on a real cruise, the fun one, so I'm going to try that one after I retire.
All right. Well, unless there's anything else from anybody else, I guess we're going to ask Mr. Weaver to.
Yep, please.
You
thank
ready?
You all. We're going to go to closed session, so you'll have to head out. But please take a bag of chips and water with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we get two beers.
Too late night. It's like it's on Saturday. Too late
night
and too
late. I guess you can go ahead and start reading.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711A.1, Section 2.2-3711A.5, Section 2.2-3711A.6 of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended for the purpose of discussing personnel, prospective industry, and investment of funds.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor? And I guess we need to record a vote for this or not?
No.
Chair votes aye. We are now in closed session.
Mr. Chair, I move the closed meeting be adjourned and the Fluvanna County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors does hereby certify that, to the best of each member's knowledge, only public business matters lawfully exempted from open meetings requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950, as amended, and only such public business matters as were identified in the motion for which the closed meeting was convened were heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting. A second and a recorded vote needed.
Second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver and seconded by Mrs. Booker.
Now do the.
We need a recorded vote. Ms. Zeger?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mrs. Booker?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The motion passes. We have a motion to.
You got stay adjourned.
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
This meeting is now adjourned. Oh, can I have a vote, please?
Aye. Aye.
All those in favor say aye. All right. Chair votes aye. This meeting is adjourned.
Mm-hmm.